I'd like to call this regularly scheduled town council meeting, town of Pure Beach, order. And with that being said, I'd like to welcome everybody here tonight. I'm glad to see Mr. Bollitt stood up and cleared two chairs. Pastor Daniel Miller, he's going to do our invocation tonight. If I step up to the front, sorry.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you tonight for all of your blessings. God, I pray, Lord, honor and favor upon everyone that's here. God, I pray your blessings upon this meeting. God, I pray, Lord, that you'll just give a special blessing, Lord, and I pray peace over this community. God, I pray, Lord, that your wisdom will go before us, God, as we follow you. God, I pray, Lord, that we'll do justly, we'll walk humbly, and we'll love mercy. God, we thank you for all that you've done and all that you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Would you all stand and join me in the pledge, please? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
And that was your information.
With great pleasure, I'd like to present this proclamation to Mrs. Shuda. You come forward. Thank you. Jim Shuda's widow, which we all hate, but I'd like to read this for you, and I'll present it to you. Proclamation of appreciation to volunteer Jim Shuda. Whereas Jim Shuda was a well-known and active resident of the town of Pure Beach and earned the affection and host of area residents, and whereas Jim Shuda served with distinction and dedication on the town's planning and zoning commission as both a member and a chairman from 2006 to 2011, and whereas Jim Shuda donated his time and talents to serve on the town's Economic Development Committee from 2009 to 2011. Now, therefore, let it be proclaimed that the town council and the town of Pure Beach, North Carolina, hereby expresses its sincere appreciation and gratitude to Mr. Jim Shuda for his leadership and guidance to the town, for the donation of his time, energy, good nature, and positive outlook to make Pure Beach a better place to live. Bill? Is he here yet?
Bill?
There he is. Bill, come on up here. Bill is retiring from the town of Pure Beach, and he has been a great employee with the town. He's looked after our residents. Bill, we'd like to give you this little gift and our appreciation. And Nancy folded it up so I can't unfold it. Where is it?
There we go. Top is that way.
Okay. Let me give you your proclamation. And this is a resolution of appreciation of employee Bill Attendra. Whereas employee Bill Attendra has served the town of Pure Beach since January 30th of 1989 in a devoted and conscientious manner, and has been a hardworking employee during his years of dedicated service, always striving to enhance the quality of life for the citizens of the town. And whereas Bill Attendra has been an important part of the Public Works Department, working the various functions to keep the town clean by doing an unglamorous job of picking up garbage and trash and mowing grass. You usually saw Bill on Dow Road with his gator every morning where I was sitting. Bill's friendly face was known around town, and he would be missed by residents, councilors, and staff. And whereas Bill Attendra retired from the town of Pure Beach June 1st, 2011, with 22.5 years of loyal service. Now thereby let it be resolved by the town council of the town of Pure Beach, for and on behalf of the citizens of the town and staff, with sincere gratitude and appreciation be extended to Bill Attendra for his years of professional and outstanding service to the citizens of the town. And the best wishes be extended for his good health and happiness in future years, and good luck with the fishing. Bill White seems to catch larger fish than Bill
Brady. Yeah.
We had a resolution of appreciation we want to present tonight for our very own Pat Forte, but Pat has picked up a summer cold, and we'll give her a proclamation to her at her retirement party. But she is under the weather. She came in today and was just dragging, so she has a terrible summer cold. Now, I have a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Nancy?
I have discussion.
No, that's it. Discussion?
Yeah, because I wanted to take the minutes of the last meeting off the consent agenda and hold them for next. They're only minutes, so it shouldn't make that big a difference.
I haven't signed them yet, so.
I'll amend my motion.
I'll second it then.
So, Nancy, did you get that?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
With that change, do I have a motion to adopt the amended consent agenda?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Adoption of the agenda. I would like to make one change. We're going to have a presentation, the first presentation by Dan Wilcox. And with that in mind, if it's the council's, if we can move the discussion and consideration of the department head business number one, add Van and Finance up behind Dan, because the TV stations and the newspapers would like to get this to press as soon as possible. Okay. The second thing I would like to change is under discussion and consideration of all business. Item number three would be Dow Road, Film PO. Are there any other changes the council would like to make? With that said, do I have a motion to adopt the... Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion by Ms. Swearingen, second by... With that said, the agenda is adopted. And Dan, would you like to step forward and give your presentation?
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I appreciate the time to speak. I was outside because it was kind of crowded, so I assume this is the item to do with the internet.
Yes.
I really haven't prepared anything. Just thought we'd come and chat a little bit. Maybe some other people that want to speak as well. Spoke to the county commissioners yesterday, and as you know, they approved some funds to their portion of the funds to fund this emergency inlet dredging. I know that times are tough. I know you guys are dealing with the same economic problems that we're dealing with down there. But I think if there's two things that we really don't have an option to deal with, to take care of in our community, it's beaches and the inlet. I mean, people come here for our beaches and boating. Whether they're visitors or they're locals, or they decide to move here. So it's a huge part of our economy. And I brought some, I don't know if you guys are familiar with this, but back in 2005, Carolina Beach Council, I believe, when Dennis was the mayor, commissioned an economic study with the Chamber of Commerce. And if I can approach, I'll bring you down.
Thanks.
was a cooperative effort, UNCW, and the Visitors Bureau provided most of this information. And what they found was that in 2005, the overnight visitors to Curie Beach and Carolina Beach that used the inlet spent an average of about $15 million annually on the island. They found that over a course of a five-year period, that would be obviously $75 million. And they also found that overnight visitors using the inlet would indirectly contribute more than $115 million over the course of 5 years. I don't know whether these numbers are right or wrong, but they're substantial numbers. If you cut them in half and suggested that we haven't had any increased impact over the last 5 years, they would still be substantial numbers. Carolina Beach, that's probably twice your size and population. So if you extrapolate, this could mean $5 million a year for Curie Beach, $25 million over the course of 5 years. If you count everything, including indirect, it could be $63 million over 5 years. So we think the numbers are pretty substantial to all of our communities, to the whole island. It's extremely important. So I would urge you to, we're just asking for some help. We love the fact that it's called Carolina Beach Inlet, but it's not in Carolina Beach. We certainly benefit from it. We're proud of that. But it benefits the whole island, benefits Wilmington, New Hanover, Riceville. And those folks, we hope Wilmington tonight will vote to help fund us. But Riceville Beach has, the county has, and of course, Carolina Beach. I'd also like to, add some inspiration. In the last couple, I'd say about the last week, I've had the opportunity to reach out to a couple of our community groups, nonprofits, the Pleasure Island Chamber of Commerce, the Foundation for Sustainable Community, the CB Inlet Association, which is basically the charter captains, and the Boardwalk Makeover Group, and the Gatamon Bank Club. Had a chance to speak with those folks, and in a short period of time, we've got commitments for about $13,000 combined, which isn't a lot of money in the scheme of things, but it's going to be an important amount of money because we've got a lot of education to do and a lot of community outreach to do, and that money will go a long way in those efforts and planning new funding opportunities for the inlet. I would like to remind you that we're really just dealing with an emergency situation here. It's not my knowledge or my understanding that we're trying to set some type of precedent. Jim and Dean were at the Ports, Waterway, and Beach Commission the other day when this was established as basically an emergency scenario and an emergency cost sharing. So the goal is, among those groups, and I'm sure other groups will join, is to start planning for the long term, that we know this is going to require some funding every year, and to start planning for different types of fundraising, and then to get together with the communities, and in fact, the county charge of the Fourth Waterway and Beach Commission yesterday with coming up with some long-term funding strategies. So I just want to share that information with you, and I think that the communities realize how important this is, and they're trying to be part of the solution, not just come before you and us and the county and stuff and ask for money. They really recognize the importance, and we would ask that you take a good, strong, and full consideration of that importance and help us out a little bit with this. That's really all I have.
Anybody have any questions for Dan?
Has Carolina Beach come up with a final figure that they're going to come in?
Carolina Beach is, we were asked to donate $30,000. We did approve $30,000. We also approved some emergency funding above and beyond that, up to $55,000. We kind of did that thinking that if all went bad, I think we could at least get a letter of commitment out from the county. and we could get things moving while we had time to work with the other municipalities. Fortunately, like I said, Wrightsville, they've made their donation, are committed to their donation, and Wilmington is hearing it tonight, and we heard from Mr. Bill Sappa that that things are seem positive there. So, so far, that's where we are.
Well, the question, where was 30 or 55?
Well, we approved 55. If up to 55, we were asked to fund 30, and that's what obviously we'd like to fund because we have the same financial constraints as you do and other municipalities.
Any other questions, Lucia?
Are we making comments at this time?
Well, no, we're just asking Dan questions.
Got a big question?
And the first comment, thank you, Dan, while you're there, the first comment I would like to make, if there's been some miscommunication, at 6 o'clock this morning, I heard on one of the local TV stations that we refused to help with the funding for the inlet. And we sent a resolution to the county, which evidently they tried to shoot the messenger. And the resolution, which was approved by council, said we fully support. But as elected officials and at the county attorney's request, our fiduciary requirements, which he is an attorney, required that he research the fact that we're in a position to give the money and which fund it would come out of. We received a letter back from the School of Government, which again was vague. It said they thought we would be able to take it out of the general fund. Arlen Copenhaver has done his research, and I think we have found a source that we can take it out of without any responsibility, but I mean without any problems, and anything that can come back through the School of Government. It was an emergency meeting that we called, and we did, I thought, the best job we could at the time. And with that being said, would anybody else like to address council?
And Mr. Mayor, there was some discussion at the visitors meeting yesterday, and I did say that, we felt that Curie Beach was still considering this, that we didn't think the door had been closed, and that we were going to come to you and talk with you about this. So, we urged them to understand that this was an ongoing situation, and that you guys were.
Well, I had discussions with three of the county commissioners today over the resolution, how it was misinterpreted. Thanks, Dan.
Yes.
Thanks. Anybody else would like to address council? Dan? Yes, Dave.
I would. Kevin Haber, 413 E Avenue. So I just want to speak in support of funding the inlet I'm dredging. I think there's really three points I'd like to make to council. One is it's the closest outlet to the ocean for our citizens, and we have a number of boaters in the community. If we let that inlet close up through inaction of this council or any other government entity, that means you're driving all the way to Wrightsville Beach or to Southport to get out for the citizens that do use the ocean. Secondly, as a fireman, the Gatamon King Mackerel Tournament has supported this community and the fire department specifically for in excess of 20 years. Proceeds from that tournament, which would probably evaporate if that inlet closes, have directly supported the citizens of Curie Beach through the purchase of two fire trucks, $20,000 for one, $30,000 for second, in addition the rescue truck for $25,000 that the fire department spent on those trucks, which the citizens did not have to purchase equipment. Additionally, that funding supported the building of the police and fire department buildings themselves. The fire department paid half of that funding at the time. The citizens paid the other half. And so if you look in total, that's in excess of $1.5 million of assets that the town has that were purchased through the Gatamon Classic tournament, which would probably, at least in my opinion, probably evaporate with the closing of that inlet. And then the third and I think most important point is that the other communities are asking for help. This time it's Carolina Beach. Wrightsville Beach is already in it. With what's happening in the federal government, it's going to be our turn with beach renourishment, and we need to support the other communities because we're going to need them to support us moving forward. Federal and state funding continue to get pressed, and I think they're going to get pressed even harder. This is not the time for Curie Beach to not support, because we're going to need that support in the future. Council wisely established a $75,000 contingency fund in their budget this year, which I applauded you for doing that. The request definitely falls in why you established that, right? It's for something unexpected that the council needs to address as part of your duties as leadership of the community. And I think you did a great job with that budget. Now it's time to actually use it for what it's for. So I hope council considers this seriously. I think it's a very serious issue. I think the leadership issues are something that you're going to hear lots of things on both sides, I think. But that inlet has definitely helped Curie Beach over my lifetime, indirectly and directly. And I don't really fish, but I know a lot of fishermen in the fire department and in the community, and they use it. If it was to sand over and the Coast Guard were to pull the buoys, I'm on the water rescue team with the fire department, and we'll be going up there because people will still try to use it. We've already had a boat flip over this year up there. It'll just get worse. Any questions?
Any questions from council? A couple of the council members have not, I don't think they had the history that you just discussed tonight. I appreciate you bringing those numbers up. Anyone else want to address Dennis? Dennis?
Good evening. Dennis Barber, former mayor of Carolina Beach, also for Fort Wayne Beach Commission, and currently serving as a board of director for North Carolina Beaches Inlets and Waterways, more specifically, a subcommittee on that committee for shallow ground inlets. Just wanted to kind of substantiate what Dan covered tonight about the need to support this program, Carolina Beach Inlet. I'm sure you're aware of the situation we're in with federal funding. That's why we're here tonight, trying to get enough funding to take care of our emergency needs through June 30 next year. Before that period next year, we hope to have a sustained long-term funding plan in place so we won't be in the same situation. This was an emergency situation. The Corps has even made a statement saying we're no longer doing maintenance dredging, we're doing emergency dredging. And the $450,000 that is proposed here will cover 28 days of dredging in Carolina Beach Inlet, however it's split up, whether that's three visits or two visits or whatever's needed to maintain the inlet. But there's a real need for us as a community to pull together now and see that this happens. The county's counting on all of us within the county. Talked to Mayor Sappa yesterday morning. He said, we have a meeting, but I think that our council is going to give you full support for what you need from Wilmington. So we urge you tonight to take care of this emergency situation. Port Waterway and Beach Commission, as Dan mentioned, was charged at the County Commissioner's meeting yesterday within 90 days to come up with a long-term plan for funding them, however that might be, and come back and present it to the county, because even the county doesn't want to be in the same situation next year to have to come up with $167,000. So again, I urge you to help us to keep the inlet open. Again, if the inlet gets too shallow at 3.5 feet, they will bring their maintenance barge in, remove the buoys, put us buoy up and set us hatchers in navigation. And that will require all boaters to start using either Riceville Beach Inlet or the Cape Fear River, because you can't, especially those charter captains running out of Carolina Beach, including myself, you can't put your license in a situation where you're taking people fishing and accept the liability that would come with it for using a inlet that's been deemed a hazard to navigation. So I urge you to help us out this time. Hopefully next year we'll have a good sustained plan put together.
Any questions for Dennis? Thank you, Dennis. Eric, you want to say something?
Yes, Eric Mann, 733 Sailor Court, Curie Beach. As a frequent user of Carolina Beach Inlet, I would like to see you support it. But more so, the economic impact we have, we can decimate the charter fleet. athletes we have here in Carolina Beach, and many of those people stay here. You've seen some of the numbers and may have voted. I think for this emergency funding, I thank your support. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. Mike, you want to? Mike Robertson.
Mike Robertson, 509 H Avenue. They've said everything I came to say. Before I get to rambling, I'm in complete support of $15,000 from the town of Cary Beach going to this fund. It's needed. The economic impact of Carolina Beach is what Dennis says. It is an important asset that we all share. We are a beach community. It is another piece of the pie that affects tourism down here. Just a simple little example, when the Fort Fisher area down there started closing at night, we started losing 10% of our fishermen that fish down there. That's a little piece of the pie. If this up here closes, it's going to be a bigger piece. There's going to be a lot less taxes coming into the town through fuel, lodging, beach renourishment. So consider this. I know this may be foreign to some of you, but consider this. This is a very important vote that you should make in favor of. Thank you.
Mike, stated any questions for Mike? Now, anybody in the audience who doesn't know, Mike is the treasurer for the Cary Beach Fire Department. And the numbers that David quoted, Mike knows the same thing. So thanks, Mike.
But he knows what I live here.
It is Craig Albright. I'm at 803 Volker Court. I'm also a UCW economist who does a lot of economic impact studies, and so I'd like to voice my strong support for this for two reasons. One is that coastal tourism is probably the most studied issue in coastal economics, and we know why tourists come to communities. They come basically for three reasons. One, quality of beaches. Again, that's a strong argument for renourishment. The quality of the commercial districts and how attractive that is. And the third is the quality of the amenities that a community has. In terms of economic impact, most times economic impact studies are vastly inflated for a number of reasons. And I've probably done about 50 or 60 different economic impact studies. In this case, this is not inflated. This is demand, creation of demand that comes here that wouldn't come here if we didn't have this particular amenity. The multiplier effects that we heard here that led to several $100 million would be in effect because these are expenditures that stay not only on the island and help Carolina Beach and Cary Beach, but also stay in the coastal area of Wilmington and so forth as people come and visit. If we don't have this type of amenity, we lose that. So this is a real economic impact, and these are real numbers. Translate these numbers into jobs, which is what people generally think about. For the numbers that we're talking about here, we're probably talking about somewhere between about 200 to 300 jobs related to this particular facility. So again, the numbers that we're talking about in terms of support here is insignificant in terms of the economic impact. Thank you.
Any questions? Thanks. Any other? Hello.
Cynthia Romano, I'm the chair of the chamber this year. And I would like to speak, I mean, everything that you've heard is all cue on what we need to talk about, but this is a trickle-down effect. Our tourism not only impacts the boaters and the fishermen, but it impacts every one of our businesses on this island. So I'm speaking on behalf of these businesses. If we lose this ability to have this inlet, we will lose economic money to our island. Tourism, we know, is so critical. Another thing that we're working on is the shoulder seasons. Our summers are full right now. Our shoulder seasons are very critical to us. Shoulder seasons are critical to fishing. That is the best time that you get fishing. People come down here in the fall to fish. That generates revenue to our businesses and helps our island. So this obviously is very critical. We encourage you to vote in support of this. This is very important to us. It's important to all the businesses. It's important to the whole island. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Well, Gail, Carol, you clapping back there?
She is.
Yes, I am.
I'm Bruce Alston. I'm president of the Pleasure Island Foundation for a Sustainable Community. And I also don't want to add too much to this other than one thing. This is one island, and although they're two separate townships, we're really one strong community that build off of each other's strengths. In the context of how we view this as a foundation and giving money to a worthwhile entity, a government project is not our normal path that we would look to fund. It didn't take 5 minutes for this board of directors to make a decision. We're giving $2,500 now, but more importantly, we have started a process to establish a long-range fund, not just fundraising, but a non-discretionary fund just for this purpose. So we strongly urge you to support it. Thank you.
Thank you, Bruce. And with that being said, we're going to move ahead to discussion and consideration of department head business, and this will be the first thing. Arlo, will you approach the let me say again, it was never my intention not to support the inlet. But at council's request, we want to study this. Arlen is our finance director. And Arlen, would you tell us what you think would be the prudent course to take and which funds that we could use to support the inlet?
I'll just take one step back and say, I guess, at the August 10th meeting, the question really became statutory authority to pay for something outside of the town's jurisdiction, in particular using property tax revenues. So since that point in time, we've done some additional research, and I think as was mentioned before, we do have a contingency fund, which a significant portion of that is funded by, we have cell towers on the site here that companies pay rental income to us. Those funds would be available. And they're, you know, non-property tax revenues, so, you know, not an issue with using them for this purpose.
The cell towers are generating $77,000
a year? Yeah, approximately $77,000 per year.
Any questions for Arlen?
No, when you think the time is appropriate, I have a comment I might like to make, and this might be a good time.
Now's the time.
Maybe a good time for Arlen to back me up on this or correct me, one or the other. I agree with Dean. I don't think our intention was ever not to support any of this. And we certainly will need your help one day. We could use your help right now with the Dow Hazard Project out there under the ocean that desperately needs to be removed. But we're also the stewards of a public trust, and as your finance commissioner, I'm your main steward of the public trust, and I have to think about our budget and our money first. So something I just want to point out to you, and you know, this is still what you want or you agree, then you know, I work for you. But let me show you a couple of things that you haven't quite brought up yet. And Dan, you may want to comment on any of this, okay? And I got these figures from the news media, and we all know they never make a mistake, so they must be correct, right? Okay. You need $450,000. The state is kicking in $225,000. New Hanover, according to which story I read, is somewhere between $168,000 and $170,000. The ports that put in 1%, that's $2,225. Wrightsville Beach, $5,000. Wilmington, $5,000. You're asking Curie Beach for $15,000. You said that you could give up to $55,000. That's $477,250. That's $27,000 over what you need, plus the 13 that you're receiving from the private sector, makes it 40,000 in excess. And I understand the 13 will probably go for education and to help put this long-range plan together, which I definitely hope you do, because the first nor'easter, as somebody said earlier tonight, and that inlet's going to be covered over again, and we have to start all over again with this. So what this means is that your portion could be reduced to
$6,750. Okay, while our portion is $15,000. Okay, let me break this down a little bit more. If you live in the county, and all of us live in the county, we're paying 84 cents apiece based on the population of New Hanover County. Okay, that's that 170,000. The people in Wilmington are paying 5 cents apiece. In Wrightsville Beach, they'll be paying $2 apiece. In Carolina Beach, with their 55,000, they'd be paying $5.26 apiece. If we drop it down because of the excess, they'd be paying approximately $4 apiece. Here in Curie Beach, our residents will be paying $7.50 apiece, plus the county surplus up there. Our people are paying over $8 apiece. And I need to know, I know you got the $15,000 because we're closer than Wilmington or Wrightsville Beach, but we don't have the revenue sources that these other towns and the counties have. All we have is property tax. And I have to look after the property tax first that our people give us. So what I'm asking you is to reconsider that $15,000, maybe let us pay something a little more equal to Wilmington and Wrightsville Beach, like $5,000. And you'll still have plenty of money to cover it. Otherwise, we're paying more than, you're not even paying double what we are, even though your population is more than double than ours. Okay, thank
you. Can I say something, Mr. Barrett?
Yes, Mike.
Apparently the lady didn't hear what Mr. Wilcox said. They appropriated $30,000 for them. And in the event that a community dropped out, they added more to it. And we're referring to Curie Beach right now. We just $30,000. And in case Curie Beach didn't go along, we have more money.
Right.
That's what the deal is.
Mike, before you sit down, will you give your name, your last name and address?
Mike Britt, 213 Oak Outlook Way, Carolina Beach.
Thanks, Mike.
And I'm a little bit ill.
Well, so. You've been a little bit ill since I've known you. So. Jim, do you have a comment?
No.
Chubb, do you have a comment?
We're getting ready to come and make a motion in a second, but what I would like to say,
just a quick question. I really haven't had time to review your numbers, so I'm sure they're accurate, except the one from New Hanover County, which is $168,750. And we did, you could count that $55,000, but what we thought we were doing when we appropriated those funds was a responsible thing. That it might take Curie Beach or Wrightsville Beach or Wilmington, might take some additional discussions with them. And this is an emergency situation. We appropriated more money not because we can afford it, or not because we want to spend it, but because we couldn't afford for this not to move forward in time and manner. We expected if we had to use it, it would give us time to come to you and time to come to Wrightsville and have some discussions, and that money would be replaced. And I would remind you that, I mean, I don't know where the question was directed about how much, but that was a decision that was made, recommended by the Port Waterway and Beach Commission, not by Carolina Beach. So we didn't set those, I think both Jim
Dugan. It was actually recommended by Commissioner Catlin to get the conversation going.
That's correct. We basically looked to the county. Mr. Catlin. We looked at Mr. Catlin for some suggestions on what he felt the county would find suitable for each of the individual communities.
The first numbers, and Jim, correct me if I'm wrong, were a 60-40 split of the county. And Jim, as our representative, made it perfectly clear we didn't think we could take a hit like that. Now, with that said, Curie Beach's TDA money continues to outpace the other communities. People like coming to Curie Beach. And with what David and Mr. Robertson and Dennis all said, that inlet to me is vitally important. Now, with that said, I would like to
make it perfectly clear that Curie Beach is most appreciative of what the county has done for us with our oceanfront park. In one swoop, they did not charge us $17,000 worth of tip fees when we removed the old motel down there. I originally had a luncheon, asked Bobby Greer for $1 million for that park. I thought I was going to have to pull my Ivy maneuver to get him to read again, but he did. The county did step up to play with $500,000. So with that being said, I would like to make the motion to contribute from the cell phone monies for the towers $15,000 from the Curie Beach contingency. Do I have a second?
Second.
Any discussion?
Yes. The main reason that I'm seconding, first of all, what Dan said, I didn't know, well, none of us knew until we walked in that meeting that we were going to be talking about this and that this was going to be done. The port and waterway meeting, this was, this hit us all in the face, and the amounts that were generated, the discussion that took place, there really wasn't time to fix it to the penny so that it was equal for everybody. This was really truly an emergency because we ended up having to have an emergency meeting on the very next day because this day was going to be a day too late. It was a situation that was in flux. We also realized this is a single shot. This doesn't do anything to say we're going to be sitting here discussing this again because the committee that we're on is going to have to come back with some kind of recommendation about what are we going to do about that out there because it's going to continue to fill in. It's going to continue to have to be dredged. The other thing I'd like to reiterate is what David said. If you don't want, if you don't ever, never have been on a boat, if you've never been out in the ocean, if you don't fish, shouldn't make really any difference to you. The money that, the private money that firefighters can put back into the town so that taxpayers didn't have to pay more than exceeds this amount. And that money that we put back into the town so the taxpayers didn't have to pay came from that inlet. Without that inlet, the fire department would have had to submit a regular budget amount for our vehicles and the equipment that that we paid for. So that alone, I think, should be a selling point, regardless of how you feel about the inlet itself. And the other thing that I really want to bring home to everybody here, no matter what side you're on, we're looking at beach renourishment. There is no plan B for beach renourishment other than let the beach degrade. Beach renourishment is going to cost us a lot of money. This is chicken feed compared to what we're looking at with beach renourishment because the plan isn't fully in place yet. If in fact earmarks are totally dead and we can't go any higher than state level, then maybe not even state level, we're going to have to do some real serious thinking in all of the communities in the county. And not to cooperate with the other people that we're going to be going to asking for money for beach renourishment seems kind of foolish to me. So, for the 15.
Chuck, did you have any comment?
No, there's not at all. I agree with you.
I think I would have to amend my motion that it would require a resolution. And
yeah.
I make a motion that we have a resolution supporting the Carolina Beach Inlet in the amount of $15,000. Do I have a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Arlen?
You also need a resolution to move $15,000 out of the contingency fund.
I make a motion to remove $15,000 from the contingency fund.
Second. You have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Arlen, strike him a check.
thank you so much for your support. Just wanted to add one thing. In the county's motion yesterday, $167,000, their motion was contingent upon receiving a letter of agreement from the other municipalities to fund the full project. They will be the stewards, in other words, collect all the funds from the other municipalities and send one check to the state for the matching fund of $225,000. So if you could get something in writing as quick as possible to the county commissioners, they can expedite this process. And the most important thing is we've got to be able to match that fund tomorrow so that the state doesn't award it to some other inlet in the state needing that money.
Thank you. May I ask you questions? The excess funding, if it goes over 225, will the county be holding that, or will Curie Beach be holding that, like the 13,000 from private vendors and the other?
The current need, that's stated $250,000, is supposed to come specifically from the entity stated in the motion by the Port Portal Rainy Beach Commission. The other funding that's been collected, as mentioned, may be spent independently on education or at the discretion of Port Waterway and Beach on education so that we can continue to collect funding like that to support future.
So will the county be holding
the county
that
will extra not,
money?
The county, to my knowledge, will not be holding. I can't speak for the county, but the county will not, to my knowledge, be holding the other funds that have been collected for maintaining the inlet. They only want checks and letters of intent from the municipalities that are stated here.
Thanks, Dennis. I talked to Bruce Shea this afternoon at 9 o'clock in the morning. He should be sending a copy of their resolution for this, and I will sign it and send it right back to him. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Now, let's get back to our regular business here, and we have some folks here from Tucker Square.
Hello, young lady. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you, Stephen?
Thanks.
I'm Deborah, 801 Alabama Avenue in Tucker Square. I have to say that we're pretty hard act to follow. The agenda actually states that I'm here to talk about the DOT Dow Road improvements. I'm sorry, there's a bit of confusion with that. I'm actually here tonight to speak to you on behalf of the property owners and my neighbors in Tucker Square, as well as the surrounding Alabama Avenue area, with regard to the currently proposed bike path, the greenway path, that would exit, as it's stated now, from the buffer zone, run down the length of Alabama Avenue, and then head south on 421. I want to be clear, first of all, that it is not any one of our intent to oppose the bike path. We all think it is a wonderful idea, as my neighbors and I all do. What we do have a serious issue with is the route. Alabama Avenue is a dead-end residential street that is very quiet and peaceful. Of all the neighbors in this area that I spoke to, the overwhelming majority were very against having a major bike path that ran through our neighborhood, and they signed a petition stating as such, and I'll bring it up in a moment. The three major concerns were as follows. The first was safety. Having the bike path run down Alabama Avenue would increase vehicle and pedestrian traffic. Homeowners backing out of their driveways will have to contend with this increase in traffic and the subsequent negative unintended consequences. In addition, there's an elementary school bus stop, the corner of Pinfish in Alabama, and the middle and high school kids actually walk down Alabama and they have their bus stop at the corner of 421 in Alabama. We are a small family neighborhood. We have children walking, playing, and riding their bikes in this area. A bike path on Alabama Avenue would create serious safety issues. Our second concern has to do with security. The towns of Caroline and Curie Beach do not have the resources to actively patrol this bike path, and it would be open to the public day and night. A bike path that runs through a residential neighborhood with quick access to a wooded buffer zone, I believe, is an open invitation for increased criminal activity. My husband and I used to live on a bike path in Burlington, Vermont, and it was absolutely beautiful. It was lovely. It ran along Lake Champlain, and many, many people enjoyed it. Unfortunately, it was also a major detraction to the homes that were adjacent to it. And in fact, because of the increased theft and crime along the bike path, it became known as Felony Highway. The third concern of the neighbors and the properties adjacent to the proposed bike path would be invasion of privacy and our right to quiet enjoyment. Alabama Avenue is a dead-end residential road away from a high-traffic rental areas closer to the beach. Putting the bike path down Alabama Avenue would completely change the character of this residential area, bringing additional traffic and noise. Our privacy and our rights to quiet and enjoyment of our property would be invaded, and our property values would be negatively impacted. The prior bike path plan, which was to run the Sunny Point buffer zone behind Curie Beach properties, received strong objections by Curie Beach homeowners a while back, and then it was rerouted. Unfortunately, this new path has the same inherent issue that was objected to before. It routes people through quiet residential neighborhoods, past Curie Beach homeowners' properties, and then out onto a very busy section of Fort Fisher, and we just feel that this proposed route does not make sense. In summary, we strongly believe the proposed bike path plan down Alabama Avenue is not in the best interest of the residents on and adjacent to Alabama Avenue, and it would make sense to utilize the current DOT road, Dow Road, as a designated route. And I know, Dean, that you've been working very hard, and I think that's how that got in there, on the DOT road, Dow Road improvements. And the road improvements include bike paths on both sides of Dow Road. We think that would be a wonderful greenway. It's a state highway, it's a main thoroughfare, it offers a straight route and existing green space, and does not impact residents and their property rights. We respectfully request putting all combined efforts of the Curie and Carolina Beach Town Council members, Carolina Curie Beach Parks and Recreation representatives, the Greenway Organization, and perhaps even a committee comprised of Carolina and Curie Beach homeowners toward having the bike path run along Dow Road. And again, we want to be part of the solution. We don't want to cause a problem. We just wanted to make this known.
Any questions, Councilor? I have talked with the representatives from Carolina Beach pertaining to the bike path, and they will not, they don't plan to meet with any representatives from Curie Beach, as my understanding, until after the elections. And if they do set up a meeting, it will be a public notice sent out. Nancy will send in a list or make sure everybody knows.
Great.
Thank you.
May I bring this to you?
Yes.
Thank you.
Roger, you're up. Roger Kelly is with the New Hanover County Tax Administrator. He is the tax administrator. And Roger, I'd like to say, first and foremost, welcome, but I appreciate the swift and timely manner that you handled in a little blip with our New Hanover County tax slips and whatnot. And I appreciate you stepping up to the plate and taking care of this as quickly as you did.
Well, I tried to get some additional funding, but it didn't might have helped out in this situation. Before I start here, I want to apologize to the council for the mistake that was made. I have nobody to blame but myself. I was the one who put the list together. I'm the one who dropped the number from the list that caused that. Not my staff, they just follow my direction. I give them a number, they go with it. So sometimes that's good, sometimes that's bad. But again, I apologize for that mistake. Once I received an email from Mara, I didn't get back to him immediately. At the time, I was at Ocean Isle trying to clean up my place down there. I got things rolling. We got some good help from some of our vendors. Same day, we corrected the mistake. We ran the bills. We sent them to our vendor. The vendor mailed them out the next morning. We have had four fine property owners from Curie Beach pay their bills already, and we have sent them refunds. So that's something we said to for the folks that live there. Okay. Again, I'm Roger Kelly. I'm the tax administrator for the Hanover County. I'm the chair of the Board of County Commissioners to handle all of the tax, abalone taxes for the county. The mission of New Hanover County Tax Administration is to list, map, assess property, bill, and collect all abalone taxes in New Hanover County. This is a process that's done year-round along with the reevaluation. And I currently have a staff of 41 people working in four separate areas of the tax department. Where have we been? These are some of the problems that we have now: the falling housing prices, short sales, foreclosure sales, bank sales. But the larger underlying factor here as to where we have been is the fact that during the last reevaluation, at that time, we were against the wall. We had to have the reevaluation done at the end of the 8 year. The only way we could have extended it another year was to get approval from the legislature of Raleigh to do that. It's only been done one time before in the state. So we caught the market. As far as taxes go, it was a good time. For citizens, it was a bad time. We caught it at the peak. And the values were up there and have remained there because of the laws within the general statutes. Once they started falling, they started falling more rapidly than what we anticipated, what we wanted to see, and we were caught in the fact that in order to do another reappraisal, at the very minimum, it would have taken at least 2 years, and we would have done what was called a horizontal adjustment, which is basically going a factor. And that's really not the way to go. A lot of states do it. Works for them, they have staff to do it, but we're just not ready for it. Now, and for the reevaluation, the state has come out because of this time, and they've said that now, if a county's sales ratio reaches 115%, you have 3 years to do a reevaluation, unless you're against the 8 year. If the 8 year falls in year two, you have to have it done by that year eight. If the sales ratio drops to 85%, the same rules apply. We're charged with going another reappraisal within 3 years to complete. The last reevaluation was completed January 1st of 2007. The next reevaluation will be January the 1st, 2012. This coming January will be the effective date. A lot of questions about that because it was postponed last year. Some folks thought that it was postponed the year before, but it was last year when it was postponed. Some people think that it's going to be in 2013. No, it will be completed and going back to January 1st, 2012. And the value of the property shall be determined as January the 1st. That's one day, the one time, and the only time that those values will reflect market value. As the market changes beyond that, it starts skewing the numbers again. Go all over the board, hence that's why we have ulterior reappraisals. What I've done here to give you an idea of what's taking place, and what we're seeing in the market, and what we think is going to happen with the reevaluation, I have picked just randomly six numbers here representing six homes from $1.5 million to $275,000. It's showing you here that the current tax, 16.25 cents, not 16.5, 16.25, I transcribed it right on this one, shows that you'll generate $7,843 in taxes. Current Town of Prairie Beach sales ratio is 142%. This means that the homes here on average are valued 42% higher than what the market indicates. Again, this is just an average for the entire town. This is not every neighborhood. We may find some areas along the waterfront have decreased more, maybe not as much, depending. This is something that we're looking into. we set up everything in the town based on market neighborhoods, try to compare them, make them all as homogeneous as possible. So we're not letting comparing the oceanfront properties to the properties back off onto Cal Road. This is something that we have to consider in this. However, some of those areas may be higher than 42%. We've seen some pockets that have been as high as 67% in some areas. So keep in mind, 42% is an average of the entire town. I've taken those same six properties and I adjusted them for the percentages to the right, from 61%, 56%, 41%, 22%, down 5%, down 13%. Those values come out to $3,089,750. What does this mean? 2011 tax base was $4,825,000 at 16.25 cents. We were generating $7,843. With the new adjustment of a base of $3,089,750, to generate the same $7,843, the rate would have to be 25.38 cents per $100. An increase of 9.13 cents. Again, I want to emphasize here that is to bring in a revenue. These are just raw numbers right now. Also, I'm sure Arlen will get into this and you'll figure out that in this, there are factors in this that you allow for some growth and some things in there that you can count or not account for, which is going to adjust this number a little bit. Either way, but just with the raw numbers, that's what we're looking at here. Looking at those same homes, the first one would generate $2,438 under that scenario. It's $2,971. You see, that's seeing an increase of $533. The next one saw a decrease of 192. The third one, 254 decrease. The next one, 477 decrease. 216 increase, and $174 increase. What we're looking at, I believe, the tipping point between all of these numbers is somewhere around 30 to 35% is the breaking point. If your property doesn't fall below that number, then you're going to see either the same amount of taxes or an increase in the tax amount. If it goes over that, then that's where you're going to see the decrease. One thing to keep in mind is when we're looking at these numbers and trying to make comparisons between this and the numbers of the county, because the county takes in this decrease, we take in whatever decrease Carolina Beach has, Riceville Beach, and combine it with what's in Wilmington. The county's looking at about a 17% overall decrease, which is considerably less than the beach areas. We're not seeing that because we fare a little bit better inland than the beach communities have. Of course, the beach communities saw a larger increase during the last reevaluation than what we saw in Wilmington and Northern New Hanover County. So, if what you're going to see in probably a lot of cases is someone's going to look and they're going to see with the new rate and their tax bill when it comes out, they're going to see that this town is seeing an increase in their portion of their tax bill based on the new rates. However, with the new rates, even though it's going up some in New Hanover County, you're going to actually see a decrease which is going to offset that increase and an overall increase to the total tax. When you put the number, when you put the numbers together, look at them separately here, you say, oh, my goodness, we're thinking everything, things are going down and going down and going down. We see some people here with an increase. But we're looking at a smaller number of homes, number of properties here, a large increase, some of them increasing here than others. But then we're looking back and we're saying, okay, we're going to have to spread this over the county tax also, which is going to show a bigger decrease. You're going to see a decrease in the county tax down here, but when you go up to Ogden, up to Wilmington area, up in that area, you're not going to see that big decrease in the county portion of the tax. So it balances out. It looks weird when you put it on paper. We trashed it. We went back and run the numbers again. It looked the same. So we said, let's try it one more time just to make sure. And that's just the way that the numbers come out. We took some instances of some actual values that were put together down here, and even tried those. And yes, we saw a slight increase in some of them down here, but the decrease in the county portion, the overall tax bill was going to show a decrease.
Any questions? Harlan, you are following all this.
My phone calls are going. When I say numbers are, and I usually get some questions back, so we're prepared. One thing before I go over the timeline here is there needs to be said about the values here. Believe it or not, there are some arm's length transactions taking place out in the community. And that offset some of the foreclosures and short sales and bank sales that we're having. And we're struggling. We probably have numbers done by now, and we have been struggling with the fact that we do know that in certain neighborhoods with the number of foreclosures, those do have an effect on the market value. And what that effect is what we're struggling with and trying to come up with a defendable adjustment in order to make to some of these sales. And it only stands to reason that if I'm looking in a neighborhood and someone wants to sell their house for $500,000, and I really like that house, but down the street there's three or four foreclosures of similar type home, $350,000. That's going to influence whether I pay $500,000 for that property. However, that gives me bargaining power because my wife likes this house and I'm going to get this house. So I'm going to go back and say, okay, I'll counter offer with $450,000. They may accept. If they do, then I'm looking at fair market value. And those foreclosures do have an impact on what those properties are selling for. And we are taking those into consideration. It's hard to find anybody throughout the country. The International Association of Assessing Officers has been working on it, coming out with various studies all over the country, talking about it among ourselves in the state. And there are a lot of good ideas out there. Nothing definite. We've never seen these times before. I've been in this business for 35 years. Never seen it. Never been to a place where the bottom is falling out. I've been in some areas where there were pockets because of tanneries going in next to neighborhoods or whatever. But still, nothing of this magnitude would affect the whole community. So we're trudging through new frontier here. And we are striving and we are working hard to try to come up with the best value.
Okay, we're going to have the bids completed, hope to have them done by November 8th. We'll be mailing the notices of values by December the 16th. In those notices, there'll be instructions that if you're not satisfied with your value, what the process is to appeal. We'll start holding informal appeals January the 9th through March the 30th. We'll set up appeals to the Board of Equalization April 9th to June 8th. Rates will be set by the commissioners and councils by June the 30th. Tax bills will be made August the 20th. Tax bills become due September 1st, but not delinquent until January the 7th, 2013. And to give you an idea that, as to where we stand with the other coastal communities, shown on here, our 2010 sales ratio was almost 105%. Last year it was 113%. This year we're expecting that the stage ratio to be about 118%. Brunswick County was 113.5%. It's now 97.2%. And that's the reason, because they just had a rebound, went on the books, and when they equalized everything, that's where their ratio falls at 97%. That's not a bad ratio, and we're gonna like that number if that's where we get. We're striving for 99 to 100%. Carteret County was 112. It's now 98. They just completed the rebound. Currituck went from 102 to 120%. Their last rebound was 2005, and their next one is going to be in 13. They're still on an 8-year cycle. Dare County was 112 in 10, and it's 118.73 last year. They're on a 2013 rebound. And Hyde was 97.41. They're now at 100%. Their last day value was 2000. That's it. Questions, comments?
Thank you very much for your time.
Roger, we appreciate you coming down, and I'm sure Arlen will be in constant touch with you.
Thank you.
Okay, and I appreciate you having me, and again, I want to apologize for the error that was made, and we now have business rules in place where things are going to be checked. I'm going to be checked a little closer each year once the resolutions come in.
Thanks. Eric,
yes. What was the procedure used to develop the values? Did you use actual sales, or did you use, like last time, this fancy computer program that just really didn't do that high values houses here out there?
Two comments to that. The last time we used the same procedure we're using this time. Yes, it is a computer-assisted mass appraisal project. We do use computers. We have a software now that's it's called Spaceless, which will, with the models that are in there, will determine market value. The last time we had, mainly a cost approach to value backed by the market. In the majority of our case, I think we had, during the last time, I think we had a little over 12,000 appeals, of which those 12,000 appeals, I think there was only somewhere, there's around 28% of those appeals actually resulted in an adjustment of value. We had 48 go to the state, 48 appeal to the state, and of those, I think that 35 of those were adjusted, and the rest were held. The value's been okay. account. So,
yeah, you can say that it's, we're using the market approach to value. We do the same thing a fee appraiser does, we just do it a little bit faster.
Are you using pretty much current valuation sales?
Absolutely. Our models are built right now, and we keep adjusting them. Naturally, we've got to come to a point to where we cut off all sales. Right now, we're shooting at the end of the month, end of August, is when our cutoff date is going to be for the sales. If we wait any longer, notices aren't going out in December. They'll go out again like they did the last time, sometime February or March.
How far back are they going
back? We're going back a year and a half. But we're factoring in all of the...
Because that's what created the problem last time, going back so far. As you will.
I think that if you go out and talk to the appraisers, and you go out right now, typically in good times, as a matter of fact, in the year of our last reappraisal, fee appraisal, I don't think we're going back. Banks weren't allowing anything to pass like 6 weeks. If the sale was over 6 weeks old, they weren't allowing them to use them in their appraisals. Then it went to 6 months. Right now, there are appraisals out there where they're going back almost a year because it's hard to find the comps that are acceptable to the lending institution. So, again, I have to emphasize, there are times we've never seen before, and we're trying to make those adjustments in the on site and in the B2B side. Are we going to miss some? Yeah, we're going to miss some. That's why we have an appeal process. And that's why we're having an appeal process from January to June. Hopefully we'll not spend all good time.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a concern about a year and a half in values going back. I'm a real estate agent, and appraisers are pretty much on target using 6 months data and refusing to use anything else. And if they are having to use sales that are over 6 months, then they are also adjusting based on the age of that sale, because we have continued to depreciate our market. Would that be the case? If
you're yes,
using
absolutely.
A year and a half data, would you be adjusting for the downward trend in
absolutely.
The market value?
You have to trend those. You have to trend those at time. There is time trending involved. And in that, you have to look at whether that's a downward trend or an upward trend, depending on the area. If you have paired sales. And you really have to have a pair of sales to get a good indication. A pair of sales is a piece of property that transfer twice within the same time frame. And that's how you set it up for it. I think what we were finding during the last period of appraisal was, and the reason that we extended it and went into February before we ever sent out the notices is because we were seeing up to a point through probably the first part of 2006, spring 2006, values were increasing somewhere in the rate of about 3-4% per month. And then we started seeing them drop. So we tried to get that drop in there and trend those sales downward for them. So yes, we look at time, they are trending down.
Roger, we appreciate you coming tonight. Thanks for your explanation, and I'm sure Arlene picked up on it. And thanks.
Thanks.
How are you, Mr. Eady? Let's hold it down, please. This is Albert Eady, and he's the Executive Director of Wayne's Transportation Service. Show us some respect. Thanks, Albert.
Thank you. A lot of conversation has been given tonight about some of the tough economic times we're in. Some of you may be very familiar with how transportation plans this economy. accomplished. And transportation planners lately have tried to take a real hard look at how much the best use of our resources, especially in light of the fact that road widening, addition of roads, are going to start to be fewer and further between. Obviously, an increase to the national gas tax, 19.4%, or even state gas tax, certainly haven't been discussed as the current transportation bill goes under reauthorization. So, as we look at roads with low grades, as we look at roads that are low capacity, I think Dow Road's a good example down here, and the challenges you face is trying to get funding to widen Dow Road. Our charge as a public transportation authority in Hanover County is to try to provide services throughout the region that we serve to make the best use of the right resources that we have. I'm here to talk a little bit about what's I think been termed as beach buses. Unfortunately, I don't know if that's the best term for it, although it is bus service or public transportation service to the beaches. The goal of the proposal is not necessarily to bring people to the beach per se as necessarily tourists. I think what we'll see more of the program that we're proposing here is more of an economic development and jobs type creation program. Most of the folks that utilize our service are what I would consider, or what we would consider, transit dependent. They can't afford transportation via their own automobile for whatever purpose, or they can't, because of a physical or mental disability, drive themselves from point A to B. Although they could be productive members of society, although they could probably secure jobs most likely in the service industry, which are very popular in some of these communities. So while we call this proposal has been termed beach service, and it certainly is a lot more than that. We see it as an economic development tool. We see it as a jobs creation tool. We also see it as an opportunity to provide reverse access commutes for residents of not only the southern beach communities, but right to the beach. A lot of beach communities typically have a lot of retired folks. I know that driving in New Hanover County can be a scary proposition for a lot of people. Certainly, the older you get, the more difficult it gets to navigate oftentimes some of the traffic that we encounter here in New Hanover County. So as we look forward to the proposal and get into the details of the proposal, let me give you a little brief history of operating transit. The Cape Fear Public Transportation Authority was created by a joint resolution with the City of Wilmington and New Hanover County to provide public transportation throughout the region. The region is defined as the Metropolitan Planning Organization area boundaries, which encompasses the entire urban area, or the transportation planning area that includes all of New Hanover County, Northern Brunswick County, and Southern Pender County, as far as the Hampstead area. We currently provide public transportation service to all these areas with the exclusion of the southern beaches. Our furthest southern route goes as far as the Walmart Junction. We also provide a host of other services, including paratransit services through a contract with the New Hanover County Department of Social Services. We provide Medicaid trips throughout the county to Chapel Hill, to VCU, to Duke University, with ESS to the tune of about $700,000 a year. We provide contract services for the Seahawks shuttle to the University of North Carolina, Wilmington. We provide a downtown trolley in downtown Wilmington that serves to reduce traffic congestion, to minimize the number of folks that have to get in and out of their cars to move them for parking purposes. Provide service to a lot of tourists, something that we would probably see a similar type program in the beach communities. Typically, I think we would see the tourists using this type of service that are already staying either on the southern beaches or on Riceville Beach, going from one point on the beach to another point on the beach without having to move their vehicle. We also provide vanpooling services, which allows folks that work together and live in a similar geographical area to drive away a transit vehicle to their place of employment. That is subsidized by their monthly fare. The rate of return on the fares that we charge the passengers is well over 90%. Certainly, we see that as one of the best ways to capture a transit-dependent population. And non-transit dependent population who want to give up their cars. for avoid the high cost of traffic. It's also an advantage to the employees that use it, or the businesses should they choose to subsidize it for their employees, because it allows a federal tax break of $220 per month. We currently have a budget in Wake Transit of about $7.2 million. Last year we provided slightly over 1.5 million trips here in Van Over County. The plan before you, as you can see in the program that was emailed to you in your agenda packet, the one that I handed out earlier, does provide service on a year-round basis from our southern point, which would be the Walmart Monkey Junction, just over the Snow's Cut Bridge. It would also serve Veterans Park, including the Van Over County schools and their areas there that are underserved. I made a presentation to the school board this afternoon to work session. And I think it showed great promise for the school board, because there's a lot of students, there are a lot of parents of students who can't access Ashley High School or some of the schools in the area because they don't have access to transportation. The school district itself has had to cut back significantly on the amount of bus transportation that it provides. So, excuse me, we can see this as an opportunity to provide additional services to New Hanover County schools. That service will be provided 7 days a week as proposed on a yearly basis, operating 52 weeks a year. Certainly we see that as an economic development tool to get folks down to the beach communities year-round. The other two proposals, Riceville Beach and Pleasure Island, would basically serve those two routes over the period from the Azalea Festival to Riverfest for 26 weeks per year. It would also operate 7 days a week. The type of vehicle, it's up for discretion. There's lots of types of buses that operate out there that would fit in with this type of community. But we see those as an opportunity to enhance the service from our current post point down to the Snow's Cut Bridge. So those are the proposals. The fares charged on all these services would be zone fares, so the farther you go, the more you would have to pay. We certainly have a responsibility, I think, as a taxpayer-subsidized organization to ensure that the passengers make sure that our passengers pay at least what we would consider a reasonable portion of the fare. As a taxpayer-subsidized entity, it's important to note that we are heavily subsidized by the federal government and state government. The fares that we charge have to go through a rigorous civilized process to meet the federal requirements to actually get the money. One of the things that I think that is important to note is that as a part of the MPO planning boundary, the town of Cura Beach, the town of Carolina Beach, the town of Riceville Beach has access to federal funding for public transportation in this area. Whether or not you choose to take advantage of it is certainly up to the town, but you are eligible for this type of financing. Unfortunately, it comes with a local match, and as the federal dollars start to dry up, as the state dollars start to reduce, we'll start looking more toward the local community to see what the interest of the local community is, to see what the needs of the local community are. This is really a presentation to see what the desires of these communities are. We're not here to impose our will on you. We're here to offer you something. If you choose to take advantage of it, we'd love to work with you and to provide the service. If you don't, we won't take it personally and we won't hurt our feelings. So that's basically the presentation for the type of service. I'm certainly able to answer any questions you may have.
Do I have any questions, Mr. B?
Yes.
Chuck.
You said a reasonable portion. What is a reasonable portion of the riders pay?
Currently $1.50, and it fluctuates greatly with the cost of fuel. Fuel can account for as much as 20% of our actual cost, but it fluctuates anywhere from 15 to slightly over 21%.
Albert, you cleared up a couple of questions for me earlier today when we had a discussion about the number of people you say are riding buses. Under federal mandate, you have to count each person any time they get off or on the bus?
Yes, sir. The reporting requirements come from the Federal Transit Administration. We count a passenger as a boarding, just as a boarding, not when they get off, but just as a boarding.
And it's a bit of a misnomer that UNC students ride free when actually the schools contribute, was it $700,000 to budget?
Yes, sir. I went and double checked that number. Our budget and our request to university, our contract with UNCW, Wilmington this year hasn't paid $978,000. That fee is passed along to students through a transportation fee that the students pay on a semester basis.
And my final question, if you don't mind, that runs with county routes. What's the total cost or estimated cost of running buses in Brunswick County, and at what those costs total, how much does Brunswick County contribute?
It's interesting that you asked about Brunswick County, because this proposal kind of came out of what we did in Brunswick County. In 2004, Brunswick County elected officials from the county, Lee and Belleville and Bassett, said we would like to explore the opportunity for public transportation service in North Brunswick County. As members of the MPO, they certainly were eligible for the money. The first few years, our Board of Transportation member was successful in getting all-state funds to offset the federal funding to provide that. After a three-year buy-in, we went back to the towns and said, now it's up to you. If you guys really want to invest in this, if you think it's an important program, we would like for you to support it, at least a portion from your general fund. But currently, it's based on the number of miles we drive through each municipality. The cost to Brunswick County itself is about $7,500 a year. Leland pays $13,200 a year. Belleville just under $5,000, and the last one under $6,000.
$75,000 a year or
$7,500? $7,500, yes. What that is based on is federal funding at 50%, which is what the federal government allows us to use with what's called 5307 funding. They'll pay 50% of the operating cost. The state will offset that by another 25% through the state maintenance assistance program. So what these municipalities are being asked to pay on a formula basis is the remaining 25%.
At this time, do we have any? We had some people, I think, y'all bear with me just a second, who actually signed up to address the bus. Young lady, where are you at? Since you're signed up, would you like to come up front and ask your question, or can you ask your make your comments now while Mr. Evie's here? Young lady, if you'll let Nancy have your name and address.
Ann Hope Marvin from 738 Sailor Court. I am the pantry chairman for the Health Center at Federal Point. That's our local island food pantry and short-term assistance agency that's supported by eight churches and the private citizens here on the island. This is Mr. Rick Brody from Carolina Beach, the vice president of the Health Center, and I asked him to bring some figures to tell you what we do now for people who cannot afford a car.
Good evening. Help Center was just very fortunate and celebrated its 15th anniversary, so we're not new, and we have a tremendous amount of experience in helping people that are having difficult times. We help with a lot more than just food. On a food basis, we're currently feeding over 300 people per month. We also help with medicines, utilities, clothing, household needs, gas, and transportation. January through June, we've spent over $1,000 just in transportation. Currently, the cost for a taxi cab into Wilmington is $50 one way.
One way to Wilmington.
To Wilmington. Yes, ma'am. We're very supportive and hope that we can see public transportation down here at the island. The Health Center supports and helps the people, everyone on the island. We don't have any town jurisdictions or anything like that. We see firsthand a huge need for this. We know that people are trying to get to the hospital, to the dentist's office, to doctors' clinics. Trying to get to the Greyhound bus station downtown. We have people that would love to have the opportunity to be able to get to work, and they can't afford a car, but they certainly could afford a bus that would get them to Monkey Junction or up into Wilmington. And I'm sure that there's some businesses on the island that would love to have the opportunity to increase their job pool by pulling people from the Wilmington area as well. So I think it would be a benefit to current businesses here. I think it would be a benefit to a lot of people here on the island to get off the island to find employment. So we're very strongly supporting getting some sort of public transportation. I mean, when our costs alone are over $1,000 for the first 6 months, and the numbers we just heard, I'm sure you can do the math, it really would be a huge, huge benefit and something that we'd really like to see.
What percentage of the people you assist come from Purity Beach?
Oh, I'm sorry, I don't have this number. I can get back to you. But I can tell you it's, I would rather get accurate numbers for you.
We have two programs. There's a regular assistance program for elderly people who are homebound, and through the help of the Purity Beach Police Department, those people have access to food, which is brought to them from through Purity Beach Police Department on at least 3 monthly to 4 monthly basis. And I would say of the food assistance people, it ranges anywhere from 13% to about 23%. It's seasonal. Most of our clients do work. They work 1 day, 2 day, or 3 days a week, the work they can get. They tend to be people who are blue collar workers in this community in Carolina Beach.
And with council's indulgence, the reason I asked this young lady to approach me, she was one of the few that I had actually who wanted to support the public transit and all that. Anybody in the audience, do you have any questions? Yes, sir. But if you will stand, let Nancy have your name.
Yes, Ken Richardson, 632 Settlers Lane. In the other articles I've seen, it's about $1.5 million, you indicated, that will be needed for capital. And it was based on a survey of 1,300 people, of which 87% supported bus travel, an extended route to the beach, correct?
The question was asked, the survey went out to 1,300 people. It was done by the University of North Carolina,
right.
Wilmington Survey Research Laboratory. It was a scientific survey. Not every person answered every question on the survey, but the question was asked, do you support public transportation service to the southern beaches? 87%, just under 87% said yes. The other question was asked, do you support public transportation service to Riceville Beach? The answer was 87% said yes.
Do you know the number of respondents that made up that 87%?
It was less than 1,300.
It was 150. So you only had 150 respondents in the 2008 survey that they're getting this 87% out of. I think under a population of 202,000, that is not a statistical significant number to indicate that there is 87% support for bus service. Secondly, for the meals, this would not be a Meals on Wheels. Your service would not help them in that regard, right?
We wouldn't provide wheels. We could provide folks that would come out that may be interested in coming out.
I'm just saying that those two things are separated.
Do you think
that number is worth investing $1.5 million of our taxpayer money plus the $7 you want to put on all of New Hanover County to extend the bus service with only 150 people responding to the 2008 surveys? That also, when I called the University of Wilmington, they don't remember the survey. Nobody got back to me about it, and they could not come up with a research service that actually did that.
I can put you in touch with
you. I would glad to. But the main point is to the council, there's only 150 people responded to the survey. I think that is not enough. If bus service may be needed down here, but in that case, there needs to be a survey that is statistically supported in order to determine if we want to spend $7 of our money or either invest in the buses.
Where's $7?
The $7, they want to
put in. They have one person at a time.
They want, the proposal, if I'm correct, is that your title will go up $7 on every vehicle in New Hanover County, which is this year. And we all know once a new fee comes on, $7 this year, it can go up.
How much are we paying now to service the rest of the county?
Pardon?
How much are we paying now to service the rest of the county?
I don't know that number. I was just going on the basis that the main thrust for coming to the beaches was this survey, and this survey is not valid.
Thank you. Any other? Yes. Joe, if you will. Joe Truelove, 512 Shell Drive. Comment, please. Stop saying service to the beach. It's service to our communities, our towns. It's not the beach. There are people here in our town that would not be able to even get to the Smiths Cut terminus that you're saying this proposal would provide. I feel that I'm already paying for service through the rest of the county. Why can't the rest of the county help us here? That's my comment. Thank you. Yes.
Okay, I'd like to elaborate some on what Mr. Richardson said back there. I apologize for correcting you. It's 154 people.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
But of those, 134 responded positively, which is 10% of the 13,000, not 87%. And in addition to that, I really respect the health center and what they need and what they want. And I'm wondering if maybe this couldn't be done another way. Let me go back a second and ask you, if I take the bus down here to Monkey Junction, okay, so I can shop at Harris Teeter, where do you let me off and how do I get to Harris Teeter or Home Depot?
The bus currently goes through the Walmart parking lot, the Walmart Lowe's parking lot, Monkey Junction. Once we drop off passengers there, how they get to other destinations is sort of what kind of pedestrian.
Okay, so if I want to go to Mayfair, how do I get to Mayfair once I get to Monkey Junction?
You have to transfer, you take the bus from Monkey Junction to downtown Wilmington, transfer to the bus that will take you to Mayfair.
Okay, so on the way back, go back to downtown, then come back to Monkey Junction, and then come back here. I noticed on the maps that you had a station in Carolina Beach. Will this be a building, or what do you mean by a station?
Our current plans, since it would be a transfer station between the Pleasure Island shuttle and year-round service, would most likely be just a bus shelter, somewhere for folks to get out of the weather. And then we'd have to work with Quincy DOT, if it was built in DOT right there, by the property owners to see that the shelter was constructed in that adequate right away.
Okay. And if some of us wanted to say yes in this process, would there be free parking there at the shelter?
It's certainly something we can investigate. We do that with Monkey Junction. We have an agreement with the property owners, the folks that hold the leases there. They do allow cars to park there. I mean, it's not greatly utilized, but it is offered to our passengers.
Okay. And will this bus be coming through every hour from 7 to 7?
Yes, ma'am. The proposal is that it operates on an hour headway, which means that's how long it takes it to get down to the aquarium and back up. The frequency of buses would actually be closer to 30 minutes because they would be going traversing at the same route.
But our section of it would only be during tourist season, is that right?
Yes,
from Azalea Festival to River Fest.
Yes,
so that during the rest of the year, our people who live here would get on in Carolina Beach, but it would still be hourly 7 days a week.
Yes, ma'am.
But if you worked second shift or third shift, it wouldn't run after 7 o'clock, is that right?
Currently, the proposal would allow us to run the beach from, or the bus from the Snowscut Bridge back to the junction till 9:30, which is when the rest of our vehicles are.
Okay. This $7 that would be on our license tags every year, that would generate over $1.1 million?
Yes, ma'am. Currently, based on the number of registered vehicles in New Hanover, that's about $1.1.
And how much is it going to cost to have this service here in Carolina Beach and Caribbean Beach?
It's in here. It's roughly the seasonal service was $155,000. The annual service, the connector service, was $334,000.
So what's all that other money?
We have to have the capital to provide the service. We currently don't have any buses available to provide that. Typically, a bus, we just had two buses delivered last December. The cost of each vehicle was around $575,000.
It's not going in a reserve fund to take care of WAVE overall.
It would offset the annual operating cost of the service to the beaches.
Okay. Why can't we do $2 instead of $7?
And that's certainly an opportunity. There's an opportunity to do that.
Okay. And I guess my last question is, if we didn't need this 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, because we only have 134 people who indicated they were interested, is there something maybe we could work out with our help center and our other people on the island that are elderly and getting that way, and or disabled or just don't have a car, that maybe we could have something a little more streamlined, that runs on hours maybe their clients could use, maybe work something out like that rather than this full-fledged thing? Because what if this doesn't work? Will it just stop and disappear and we won't have service, but we still have this $7 on our tags?
It's certainly something that would have to be monitored by the transit authority. It'd have to be monitored by the MPO, which is the elected officials, to say whether it was something that they were committed to. Transit routes in general typically take a long time to evolve. A good example is we started a route in April 2010 for additional service to New Hanover Regional Medical Center. We've seen that route increase every month since it's been established, but folks have to know that it's something that they can rely on, something that's going to be there before they're going to go and commit to working there or getting a job there. So it's something we have to certainly monitor closely. But this decision comes down to the elected officials, and if elected officials, both the TAC and the county, say, this was an abysmal failure, the tax can't be received, the vehicle registration fee can't be received. And getting back to your other question of what can we do on a smaller scale, there's plenty of opportunities. And I think, if nothing else, I think this proposal here is more of an opportunity for us to open the dialogue and say, here's the type of services we provide. I've never been down here before. I've obviously worked close with the mayor and Mr. Dugan in their role on the Transportation Advisory Committee. But I think there's a lot of people in the community that aren't aware of the type of services that we are able to offer and aware of what type of services are needed. So it's like I told the folks at Lashville Beach, they wanted a much more comprehensive plan. They wanted to know how to do transit, bikes, and ped, and the whole nine yards. So that's the role of the transportation planners at the MPO. On a much smaller scale, with just transit, we'd be happy to work with your staff if we could find a solution that met the needs of not only the social service agencies here, but your residents here. And it may be something that we just provide service a couple times in the morning, a couple times in the afternoon with the van. I mean, there's all kinds of opportunities out there.
Thank you, Albert. And that being said, we need to have a discussion and consideration of the resolution R11-12 requesting the $7 registration fee. Jim?
Exit.
Start with you.
At this time, with what's going on, I think that this is just something that we can do without.
Chuck?
I didn't survey. I got a very good response. Almost 100% was against the proposal. So regardless of what my thoughts are, I didn't vote no.
Emily?
After what we've just done to help the fishermen, that's $8 a piece out of our tax dollars that will be going to you guys. I can't put another $7 per vehicle on top of the people that I work for. So right now, I would have to vote no, but I would hope you would go back and maybe consider something less, or at least work with our home center people to see if we can't get something more like a van that they could use and cut down on these outrageous transportation costs they're paying.
And with that said, Albert, I cannot support the $7 fee. However, you've always been accessible anytime I ever called you. And with that being said, if you could set some time assignment that would like to be with you and a representative from the Help Center and see if we can do a smaller scale service that would help folks on out. I would like to set that aside if that's okay with you.
Absolutely,
yes, sir. Thank with you, that sir. Said, do I have a motion to support the resolution? Or to deny support the resolution?
Okay.
With that said, Albert, we appreciate it, but we will not support the resolution of $7 action. And Joe, if your wife is available or the young lady in the back, I'll send this. We'll sit down and have a talk with
them. We have to have one.
Thank you.
They didn't.
If you'd like to step up here, we'll let you address council and so we'll take a short break.
We have to do a motion.
This is Mr. Bill Scott, and he is the head of the business.
Just what he's
said. He's the man who's been driving on.
So I got it.
Okay, sir. John.
Which means he's dead.
We're missing an emblem swear, Jim, I think. Discussion and consideration of committee business and number of interview applicant for one vacancy for planning and zoning. Now, if council doesn't mind, our team leader for P&Z has got to go pick up one of his children. Council, if y'all don't mind, at his request, can we move item number 3 to item number 1? So he can get out of the room. Okay.
Thank you. Item number 3 here is an opportunity to kind of bring to the council a little bit of information. Again, one of the interests of the council, I think about a year or two ago, was that they wanted to make sure that the commissions and the committees, if we were going to do something, to kind of inform the council as to what we were doing and so forth. The issue here actually comes from the summer. I work for the Department of Defense Technology Transfer Agency in San Diego each summer, and this last summer I was assigned a number of alternative energy projects to work on. And what came out of that, it became very, very obvious that things like solar panels and windmills are starting to become cost-effective. It's just a point right now where we're going to start seeing a lot of people wanting to get solar panels, active solar panels, photovoltaic sort of things on their houses. Windmills are starting to become cost effective and that sort of thing. P&Z meeting, we kind of looked at what other communities are doing about ordinances. And sure enough, just in the last year, a lot of communities now are developing ordinances in terms of regulating these sort of things, because what we have found in the last couple of years, just take, for example, the photovoltaic solar panels. If you don't have a regulation, people can pretty much put those wherever they want to put them as long as they satisfy the building requirements. So you can have standalone photovoltaics in your backyard as long as they're 5 feet, let's say, from the setback requirements and so forth. And these create a lot of visual problems. They create heat. They create reflection. If you put them on top of your roof, for example, a lot of times they will go above the roof line. They can stand up about 5 feet off the roof, which might create a wind problem, let's say during a hurricane or that sort of thing. You get windmills being put up and so forth. So anyway, we wanted to come to the council and suggest that approve, basically informally, that we actually start to look at maybe developing an ordinance to deal with alternative energy sort of things. These could range from visual impact issues to standalone. Do we really want to have standalone photovoltaics on people's backyards? These type of things. So that's really why I wanted to come to the council, say that we would like to start looking at this. We've already pulled up a number of ordinances that have been passed by a number of communities, including coastal communities, just in the last year. And I think that we should be proactive in this as we move forward, because I think in the next couple of years we're going to start seeing a lot of these things appearing in applications coming to the building folks here in Terry Beach.
What about building inspections?
Well, that would be one of the things that we would look at for the ordinance. Right now we have nothing. We have absolutely nothing that would deal with this other than a construction of a, let's say, a, you know, some sort of a structure, which, you know, again, just would be covered by the existing ordinance, but we don't have anything that would really address, you know, inspection, height, roof line. Do we want to have things on the street front or just simply on the back? Do we want to have standalone or not standalone? Do we want to have windmills in everybody's backyard? You know, these sort of things. So these are things that we're going to look at over the next couple of months. I just wanted to bring
it to council. I just wanted to give John a heads up in case he has to do some energy.
No, I'm glad to hear we're looking into this. I think it's definitely a good thing to be starting on, especially the aesthetic value. The aesthetic values, what we want to see in people's backyards, or what we don't want to see in people's backyards.
Does he have a planning portion of planning zone?
Yeah, absolutely. So, but we did want to kind of keep you informed as to what we're looking at, so the surprise doesn't come 2 months from now, where all of a sudden we come, you know, forth with a proposed ordinance.
Jeff, do you have a question? John, how many solar panels have been installed in Cure Beast?
Two that I have permitted.
And do these panels have to meet any engineer wind load?
Yes, sir. They certainly do.
At least certified.
Since the building code does not necessarily specify how to attach a solar panel to the top of a roof, I use what's called the alternate construction methods part of the building code, which basically says that an engineer has to sign on all the attachments and loads and certify that it's okay.
Under the current energy problems and the fact that under the federal mandate they're supposed to turn 15% of all energy resources to alternative, I would prefer that the town attorney see if we actually are in a position that we can designate where they can put those panels.
We've already checked on that. I've not through the town attorney, but I have checked on that. There are articles written on that. Several states, there's a federal mandate that restricts communities from developing ordinances to restrict this. A couple of states, California in particular, does restrict it. As far as we know, and we did do some checking, but certainly we would, you know, like the inside of town attorney, we couldn't find any restriction in North Carolina that would restrict, the state restricting a community from establishing regulation with regard to any of the alternative energy issues.
At the homeowner's discretion, John, these solar panels, two instances that you discussed, what type of warranty do they have on those things?
That I do not know.
The warranty is usually 20-year warranty on the solar panels.
Even in our corrosive environment?
Usually the solar panel warranty is based upon not only, you know, normal wear and tear sort of thing, you know, obviously a hurricane would be different than that, but also the half-life, because solar panels have half-lives associated with them in terms of how long they can generate electricity. So the issue of solar panels historically have been kind of aesthetic issues, because there are some studies to show that if somebody puts a bank of solar panels in the backyard, it does depreciate the property values around that particular property. So they're primarily that, but obviously in the coastal community too, we have to be concerned about wind issues and construction issues.
Well, I think the information that you gave me last year, you know, we're not talking about the big bulk panels all the time.
Yeah, some of these panels are look like they're incorporated into the roof lines and you don't see them, but they are restricted as to where they can put them to get the maximum solar radiation. So
basically,
I like to get another can of worms that.
Well, it's better to address it and be ready
right
for it than to have somebody come in and put up something you don't want and we don't have any way to prevent it.
There's no doubt, in fact, what I've worked on were called thin panels, which are exactly the things I like. Be honest, in probably 20 years, we're going to be spraying paint on the sides of houses that are actually solar panels, mm-hmm. and they're going to be built into blinds, but we're not there yet in terms of cost effectiveness. The ones that you're talking about are what are called thin film solar mm-hmm. panels. You can actually make tiles, roof tiles out of these things.
So they
actually
blend, which I would.
These are actually still very expensive, you know. So the ones that are cost effective now are the traditional glass covered solar panels that you see up there, and those are the ones that are being installed right now as a cost effective measure. So those, we're far more concerned about those than if somebody has a solar panel that looks like. In fact, most of the existing regulations that have been passed in the last year apply to panels, and if somebody has something that looks like a roof tile, there's almost no restrictions on those.
And isn't there some new technology now that they're using silicone on them for ones that are closer to the beach that help with the salt water in the air? And all
yeah, that? There are different ones. There's also the mounting because, you know, several of the inland communities will allow these things to be mounted up to 5 feet above the roof line. Not only above the roof line, but also above the roof. Well, that leaves a lot of space for wind to get underneath. You have some other ones that are actually built much closer down, you know, like 6 inches, 12 inches, or maybe even, you know, semi-flush with the roof. These are exactly the sort of same things that we want to look at.
Mr. Attorney, is this something we may be opening Pandora's box? I mean, with the engineered specifications, I mean, I would not think John would accept that the installation of any of them unless they've got a certification from an engineer. And the 5 foot above the roof, you know, if it's above 35 feet, not going to happen. So, John, what do you think?
Well, like I said, I'm more concerned with the placement of
aesthetics.
These things, yes, sir. I think
really
it's
not the inspector's job. Aesthetics.
Okay.
Your public safety and construction. And in my opinion.
Well, what's code enforcement for them?
Code enforcement is to make sure they build it right and didn't fall down and kill somebody.
Well,
yeah,
our
Lord was out there with a baby stroller, and I don't want a house falling on her. And I don't want you telling somebody what color they paint their house.
Well, I didn't tell you that.
Well, that's,
but that's what we have ordinances for. We have setbacks, we have structures that can't be in the setbacks. We have different instances such as that, and that's what I'm concerned with.
If it's a setback rule, then I mean, solar panel. If it's a structure, which it'll have to be, for the ones I've seen are built on some type of frame, that's a structure. Now, if it's something like that, you know, I don't mind, but I would prefer, preferably, y'all work a little bit more on the land use plan criteria that we have about bringing B1 up K Avenue. Spend more time.
Well, we can certainly do both.
I mean, that would be my preference. That's up to council. Council may need some guidance.
Well, I think what you do always do is just let somebody do something and begin with anything about it. Don't think it's wrong. Don't get up front of it. Do something now.
Well, we've done that in the past and it's ended up in courts, too. So I want to make sure this is something we're actually in a position to.
Let me say this to you. P&Z on its own, the way it's set up under the laws of North Carolina, can create these things and bring them to council. You don't need to accept them. But they don't need permission to.
But we want to work with council, obviously. So.
Oh, don't worry about them.
I mean, if I could just address this. Almost every community is looking at developing ordinance right now. There's a sense of almost every community that we've seen just in the last year or two to address this issue because there are some rather unattractive, possibly even dangerous sort of things that are going up. Again, when you think of a solar panel, a glass solar panel, it acts as a mirror, basically. And right now, somebody could put freestanding structures of solar panels all the way across the backyard, maybe just 5 feet from the property line. That raises the heat. It's reflective. It shines into other. I mean, it's like putting a mirror in someone's backyard, basically. These are the things that we should be addressing, and most of the ordinances that we have seen, and we pulled off about 10 last time just to kind of look at them, those are the sort of things that they do address. It's trying to encourage alternative energy, certainly, but also within the restrictions of trying to keep it, within the what we're trying to achieve, you know, within a particular community. So the communities in North Carolina and outside of North Carolina are developing these ordinances. I just don't see a legal problem with doing that.
And I think as Jim said earlier, this is part of the planning of your committee, and I think you can do this and the B1 up K Avenue at the same time.
Yeah, and we're certainly looking at that too.
So give me an example, Craig, if you've got somebody over here on N Avenue. They have an adjoining property owner, and they're going to put 10 of these panels 5 foot off the property. How would you restrict that? What would you tell them?
Quite frankly, almost every ordinance that we have seen in beach communities and non-beach communities do not allow standalone panels. They're considered to be very negative in terms of not only aesthetics, but also maybe
property value.
So I mean, again, we pulled off 10. We didn't pull off 100, but we found about 10, and every single one restricted, did not allow standalone panels.
Well, would y'all work on an ordinance that, so long as they are non-intrusive? Or, I mean, how would you define what you think somebody should do with their own property?
Well, that's exactly. I mean, I can tell you what most of the ordinance has. Okay, every ordinance restricted standalone panels. I mean, there's a lot of problems with those in terms of what we call negative externalities, damaging, you know, adjacent property and property values, shining lights into the bedrooms, reflections, and all those sort of things. The majority of what I would call coastal and tourist communities, probably all of the ones that we looked at, restricted roof panels on the street view. Okay, that on the back side you could have it, on the side you could have it, but they did restrict them on the street view. There were a few communities that were more non-tourist oriented communities that allowed it both on front and back. Every ordinance restricted it so it didn't go above the roof line. This is an issue too. For example, we do have a 35-foot limit, but let's say you have a house at 30 feet. You know, that you would allow it to go up. You know, existing ordinance right now would allow that maybe to go up an additional 5 feet. Every ordinance that we saw restricted, you know, to the roof line or below. You could also have it extending beyond the roof line, say, you know, down the end of the roof, you know, where the gutters are. Almost every ordinance restricted how far it could come down below that. I mean, these are the sort of things that we'd be looking at. Mm-hmm. And again, we would use as a model existing ordinances. We would.
Who are these other communities that you're referring to that are adopted in this? Somebody around here? Anybody around here?
I brought several ordinances to last week. I don't have it with
communities in North Carolina?
Yeah, there were some in North Carolina, yes.
And how would you address it? Excuse me, Jim, just a second. How would you address it on the corner lot? Which
we would have to. That's exactly. You know, I'm not suggesting the ordinance tonight, the wording of the ordinance. All my suggestion is that, you know, we would look at these sort of things and try to address exactly those issues and come forth with a ordinance that the council would feel appropriate. You know, again, before trying to plan ahead, I think, which is what a lot of the communities are doing. A lot of the communities are reacting to problems they've had. You know, we do have a couple installations right now. Quite frankly, I know several people that have contracted with solar panel companies either to start putting them in or to get estimates on them. So I think this is going to become an important issue over the next couple of years. And so we're just trying to do some, you know, advanced planning for these sort of things.
Well, I mean, I would think that most of the restrictions of the HOA associations would cover anything like this, but the rest of town might be it. But like I said, if y'all have the time to do it, that's fine, but I would prefer y'all be working on what the land use plan has about extended V1. But up to Canada, I don't have a problem with you working on it.
It's unanimous, though.
Yeah,
very
good.
All right.
Do we need to talk about number two at all? Or is I would suggest that be referred back to the
I think if y'all would send that to us, yeah.
Okay.
Is that council's wish that this be referred back and they discuss that? All right, now number one, Joseph. Just how are you, buddy?
Doing all right.
Interview applicant for one vacancy on the Planning and Zoning Commission, and Judge is here tonight. We've always tried to have two, and this is something the council in their one of the other ordinances like to review the folks for the Mobile Planning and Zoning, and Dennis can't be with us. And with that said, Judge,
yes, sir.
Tell us all about you.
I've lived in Great Houston 2.5 years. I've lived on the island for almost 16. At a point in my life, I started to get a little more involved in the community, and I think planning is only going to be a good way to get started.
Any questions for Joseph? Council?
I am just so glad to see that somebody who's very young and energetic is getting in. That's young, let me tell you. Is getting involved. I hope you bring more of your friends in on some of our committees.
Have you had any practical experience with something like P&Z?
The only thing that I've dealt with, I work for Verizon Wireless, which I did have to go to my HR department because of the tower in the back. Mm-hmm. So even submit an application. In the realm of my job, people do call in and say, I have 40 acres of land and terrible cell service. What can you do? There's a form that they have to fill out. They're going to do setbacks, easements. Does that mean current zoning for their land? I discussed that with them. They need to submit that form. What happens at that point? It's out of my hand.
Well, I appreciate you stepping up to the plate also. We do have another applicant who cannot be with us. And Joseph, I hope it wouldn't inconvenience you, but I personally would like to interview Dennis before we make a decision.
That's fine.
I don't know about the rest of the council, since he could be here tonight. Emily, you got a comment on that?
Have you got any preference of areas of interest in DNC?
The land use, signage, is a big issue, especially at the current point. We should be calling it for the pleasant, so that's another.
Let me ask you something, just a technical thing.
Okay.
In discussions with PZ in the past, they were talking about some cell towers and things like that being able to incorporate it into a aesthetically pleasing architectural detail buildings. Have you done anything like that?
If you drive up I-40 from Crossway Avenue, there's a tree that looks very out of place. That's a cell tower.
Well, yeah,
They would lie more of that now in building structures.
But have you dealt with any of this personally?
No.
Okay. Right. Thank you. Well, Joseph, at the will of the council. Yes. Thought you'd ask.
If Ann resigns from PNC, wants to be an alternate, would that open up another vacancy?
Yes, it would.
Yes, it will. Yeah. And was never going to refer that back. She's been. Judge, nothing to do with you. There was just like Ann spending about 5 hours a day with her mother, who's in a bad way, and that's the reason would like to go to an alternate so she stays in the loop, but that will get PZ to bring it back to us and we'll accept or deny their request. Joseph?
You don't have an application for things?
I don't think they included because you couldn't be here. Any other questions for Joseph? Can you bear with us and come back and see us on September 20th?
I think I can do that.
We'd appreciate it. How about the rest of the council? Thanks for putting in the application and hope to be working with you soon.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks. If you get picked, we'll pay you.
It's
great.
Commented on either
one
of these.
With council's indulgence again, we have two applications that were approved by the Parks and Recreation Committee, Carla Lane and Ken Woodrow. And they have the blessings of Parks and Rec. And with that being said, under item number four here, would it be council's discretion to appoint them to the Parks and Recreation Committee?
How can we do that?
Do you have a second?
Second.
All in favor? Any discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye. Thank you. Now, Arlen, back to you if you don't mind.
Okay.
First is right now as part of our
cash management policy that we have. We have two official depositories, one being BB&T and the other one being the North Carolina Capital Management Trust. What I'd like to do is add two additional banks to that list of official depositories, one being Bank of America, because when I started here, we actually already had in place a CD, which is still in place with Bank of America, so I'd like to be added to our list of official depositories. I know what I originally sent out, we talked about one of the reasons for adding Bank of America is also to invest some additional funds. What I've handed out is a couple different alternatives, I guess, in regards to investment of our funds. And I'll come back to the official depository in a minute, but maybe we should go over what I've handed out first to see if it impacts that list of depositories. At the top, you see North Carolina Capital Management Trust and what we're currently earning on an annual basis. And I expect that amount to even go down further. The most recent month, the interest rate we got was, and this is the percentage, 0.02. So on a $1 million investment, we got $20 of interest for the month. So we have to get that money out of it. But I propose leaving about $250,000 there, but moving $750,000 to other investments. So the reason I handed out this other sheet is it gives a couple different alternatives. The second is what BB&T, where we have the majority of our operating account and probably approximately about $1 million with them right now. The alternatives that they could provide, which are okay, but not great. The next one was the Bank of America. It's a 9-month CD. Interesting part of this is that it's considered risk-free, so if you needed the money, if you put it in today, needed it a week from now, you could take it without a penalty. And that's earning 0.3%, which I know also sounds terrible, but in today's environment, that's not a bad rate of return. And then finally, First Bank, which was just some information gathered in the last 2 days or so, some options that they would have. The first being a money market account, which would earn 0.2%, or something that I know a lot of other towns are doing at this point, which is to kind of stagger or tier CDs. So the second part of that is to kind of stagger 4 different CDs ranging in different maturity dates, so 4-month CD, 6-month, 9-month, 12-month, so they come due at different points in time. So hopefully if you have a cash need at some point in time, there's always a CD coming due within a month or two. And again, this is more of the, I don't want to call idle funds, but funds that we should not need on a day-to-day basis. So with that in mind, that's why I'm, I guess at this point, proposing adding both Bank of America because of the existing CD we have, and then also adding First Bank to try to go into this tiered CD structure, which, again, in today's environment, is probably giving us about the most we're going to get in a safe investment.
Well, when Bill was here, we had staggered CDs.
It worked very well.
It was a different time, but you're right, it did seem to work well.
The North Carolina Capital Management Trust promised the town the moon initially.
And you know what, in a different economic environment, they would have done, I'm sure it would have been a lot different.
I beg to disagree that I don't think they ever came across from what they actually promised us. Do you, Jim? What? Chime in now, I don't think we ever got what we were actually promised.
Well, let's see, the problem with them, they're just like we're limited in what we can invest in, so are they. So I think when Terry Beach went into that investment, I think it was in 2009, and it's a money market account, I mean, that's when things, they were already declining, earnings, I guess, so.
Well, with the numbers that you got here in the interest rates, I certainly wouldn't have a problem pulling it all out of there, parking it somewhere else, because I don't think they need the benefit of $250,000 there earning 0.0749%.
Well, I could even take more than 750. I think we should leave something there.
Why would you want to leave anything there?
Well, that we have that existing relationship as the economy changes. We don't have to leave. I was going to leave $250,000. I probably leave, you know, something much less than
that. But correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, you know, from what I read and what I hear every day, for the economy to change, it may be a decade.
It could take a while, but
I mean, can you go back in? Can you back it to zero?
Yeah. I mean, we could close our account there.
I mean, that's the reality. It's the
Downs
money, the taxpayer money. And if you can get a few more dollars out of it, I would not hesitate to move it.
Yeah, I mean, we can get out of that relationship.
I would get out of that one.
All right. So,
Dave,
did
you have a question?
Yeah.
Oh, Dave.
One sec, if I can. I think Harlan's point, and I would agree with it, is diversity. The town has moved in and out multiple times, right? When I was finance commissioner, right after I left, we moved from Bank of America. You're going to be back in 5 or 6 years. You're not going to lose very much money if he keeps $25,000 or $50,000 there. I think for him, the point is maintain these relationships. It's going to come back around. Once the bank gets you, they start dropping the rates, and you're going to be searching around again. So for him, and for the town, it's valuable to maintain a relationship where you can go back in instead of starting from scratch.
You don't lose that much money, really.
So
I agree with you 100%, but not at the tune of a quarter of a million.
Yeah, exactly right.
Well,
I think that's the point,
that
right?
Yeah, I mean, that could be adjusted.
I mean, I would leave whatever the minimum is, and I sure wouldn't let them have any more of it.
Okay. Yeah, I can adjust that amount.
Yes,
I mean,
Mr.
I don't know how much you can bank on this, but several weeks ago I was watching the business news on television, and they said that the Bank of America is the largest bank in the United States, and it is underfunded. And if they were to have a financial crisis of mortgage foreclosures and what have you, they'll fold up.
Well, Arlen explained to me that we're working under a different set of rules with them, but at the same time, and this is just personal opinion, when we were that day, correct me if I'm wrong, when we were with Bank of America, they promised us interest rates that they never gave us. Jim, you were here. That's why we moved, because they promised us 3% and we get 1. And it came into the statements, and everybody was going, that's it, 3. It was, well, it says 1 year, that's all you're going to get.
Right now the CD we have with Bank of America is about $255,000, $256,000, and it's actually not bad because it is this risk-free CD. Again, you can take the money when it's
snatched and
do. And right
now,
I mean,
I didn't advocate taking $250,000 out of Bank of America, but I wouldn't park Crest up there either.
Right, and I would let that roll. I think it rolls over in September. So I'd let it roll over again into another one of these risk-free CDs.
Well, do you want us to make a decision tonight, or would you like
I think we need to do two things. One, we definitely need to add Bank of America as one of our depositories because we have funds there.
Do you need us to make that in the form of a motion, or do you just say?
Yeah, I think. And then the second is, I think at this point, with what I could find and of the research and also some discussions at a recent conference I've been at, is going to this tiered CD structure, and you know what I found the best was at First Bank at this point.
So, us the motion you would like us to make to cover both of these.
Correct. Well, it actually covers a couple things. One, adding those two banks to the list of official depositories.
So,
we'll
make a motion to add two banks
to
as
our list of depositories.
And use the tier.
Sure.
And a second. I'm going to ask Mr. Keener to back away from this.
Yep.
I'm going to ask him to excuse himself since his wife is an employee, but the numbers are I'm impressed with them. So, Chuck, if you don't mind, we're going to excuse you.
Yes.
And with that being said, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Do I have a motion to reach up back in?
So moved.
Do I have a second? I second. All right, Chuck, you're back.
Chuck, be careful. He'll go home on you.
The second part of that, if you know, if you have to move, it'll be more than $750,000. I guess estimate, maybe about a week, you know, we had 25 to
if there's some 50. Type of golden rule that we're playing by with North Carolina capital management, right. Then that's fine, but like I said,
I'll leave the minimum amount there
that
we need to leave.
Okay.
And the last part in regard to the banking relationship is BB&T. There, with a lot of the changes in banking regulations, there's some things that have changed with our account. Currently, our operating account is what they call public special money rate checking account, and we're earning 0.25%. The problem is that what they're charging us in fees on a monthly basis is more than what our interest is. So it's costing us about $125 a month right now. So what they have is something called a public funds checking account. And what that is, you don't receive interest, but you get what's called an earnings credit. So we would get 0.45% earnings credit. So that's what we would earn on our balance. We wouldn't actually get that as cash, like interest, but it would be used to offset our bank fees. And if you have a month where you earn more in interest earnings credit than your bank fees, that would roll over to the next month.
It's like getting air miles on a credit card?
Yeah, basically. It's similar, yeah. But all the banks are going to this at this point in time for public funds.
Do you have any idea what type of savings you're going to get with the fees?
Well, we would probably save about, until you offset, you're saving about $125 a month because you're not getting that interest now. So there is a savings. We could also use that if we add additional banking services. At some point we need to follow up on the whole accepting ECH payments or credit cards for our water and sewer bills. So if there's any additional fees associated with that, this earnings credit could help to cover that.
So do we have a motion to change the type of bank account with BB&T from a public special rate to a public funds checking account?
So moved.
Commissioner Swearingen made the motion.
I'll serve.
Commissioner Newman seconded. All. Any discussion? All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Anything else?
That's it.
Thank you, Art. John, you're up. Anything?
That's right. I don't have anything.
And the fire department, David, anything from him?
Not from Dad. Sort of.
Police department and public works.
Let's prove it down.
Okay. Discussion and consideration of all business. Mr. Dugan, Oceanfront Park update.
Just to give everybody an update on Oceanfront Park, there was slight delay with the start of the project because of the special inspection issue. Since that's been cleared up, the pilings have been driven, and they took only a day and a half of what was close to a two-week time frame to do. So there's going to be a savings overall to us. They have dug the footers and the rebar is in place. The footers are to be poured Thursday, which puts us within the time frames that we were given when we okayed the project. So unless John's got something additional, we're on schedule.
Okay. Any comments or discussion with Jim on this? Anything else, Jim?
No, sir.
Did they make a decision on the retaining wall, John? Or is it where we have it?
We have not made a decision on that. We did speak to Mr. Robertson about whether or not it was his wall. We're fairly confident that it's not his wall. And in those conversations, he was okay with us extending the wall to the west, as we had originally talked about, or possibly tearing down the existing wall and building one new continuous wall all the way across the back side of the property.
Well, in my opinion, I certainly don't see tearing down a perfectly good wall. Worst case scenario, I take off the caps and fill up concrete.
Well, and that is my only concern. Yeah. Once we start backfilling
the new wall, I would reinforce it with some rods and footing. But that's my opinion. I'm certainly not in charge of the extra front part.
That is my only concern, that we get in there and start backfilling and that whole wall comes down.
You took the cap off and built concrete and stuff. But anyway, honestly. Private funding for the extra front part. This was a question. Jim, you are Oceanfront Park. Chuck, you and Emily, you are trying to raise private funds for the park. And where are we at with that? Have you approached anybody? What's our status on that? On donations from private entities?
Chuck was working with BB&T, and I was supposed to send the city executive a proposal the 1st of August, based on educational things, but that sort of got delayed, and so I'm waiting to see what happens Thursday, how much interest we have from school teachers, and so we can put a proposal together to ask them to pay for some educational programs. That was all BB&T said from the city executive said he only wanted to pay for educational programs. We've been to several other funders that turned us down.
We're also gathering information. We've got some good information as far as the selling of the locks.
Well, I mean, it's time we start moving on this. The list we have of the 25 largest donors in the state, has anybody, other than the two letters we sent out to the two entities, has anything else transpired with that? Have we sent any more letters of introduction to any of these?
I've never seen that list.
Well, then I will make sure that you have it tomorrow, because I think it's time to move on with this. Some of these people give away $100 million a year, and then we need to try to get to the trough before anybody else does. All right, with that said, any other discussion on this? Item number three is what we added, this Dow Road and the MPO. As you know, there's been some discussion on TV and the paper about Dow Road. The MPO has every intention of dropping the Dow Road from the list, every intention. And the reason for that is the $50 million underestimate to land acquisition for the extension of military cutoff. The small communities do not have the votes to change the way the MPO is operating. You have a letter in your packet here that I, everybody got that? They are basing the status of Dow Road on a 2008 pecking order. The 2008 pecking order does not include anything about the road diet. It does not include any information about the state DOT designating Dow Road as an alternative exit route for the beaches. It contains no information about 132,000 cars coming over the Snow's Cut Bridge on the 4th of July. It contains no information about 900,000 people a year coming to Carolina Pier Beach to visit Fort Fisher and the State Historic Site. Now, I was shocked today to find out, I had a call from Jill Stark. She is the Department of Federal Government Transportation Planner in Raleigh. And she has informed me as of today that one of the administrations of Pier Beach told the MPO to shelve that project. And that is a shock to me. She is supposed to produce the documents of a minute of the meeting, and I was just completely floored. I've got to see it in writing, because I don't know of any administration connected to this town that ever done that. I think it's all important to everybody that I've ever known who sat up there, from Betty Medlin, and I mean, they're going to have to show it to me, because this is a shock.
Yeah, so it's, I think she might be talking about when they were talking about extending it down south behind Cherry Beach.
She said that they, David, I mean, I remember that. She said that they, that this administration told them to shell that project, and I am still in shock. She said she would get the information to me. I've asked to pull the minutes back to 02 from the MPO meetings, and I'm picking those up tomorrow, and I'll be reading them.
Yeah.
But the letter that you have, and I have talked to Frank Eiler, who will be controlling the first strings for DOT. I talked to Phil Berger, the Senate, House Majority Leader, all of our elected officials, and I would like council's permission to send this on town letter, because I am just in shock over what I was told in the last couple of days.
Send this?
Yeah.
Can we suggest some changes?
Sure.
I think from one half of it was fantastic. But is there any way we could not criticize, you know, the mistakes, or try to tell them what, prioritize the engineering service? I mean, negative statements here, which could probably be removed and would help. Because up here, it's all facts. It's pretty good.
Well, the lower part of facts, they made a $50 million mistake on one project.
I think Mr. Cole told you that wasn't the reason why the tower didn't take long.
Yes. No, he didn't tell me that, Jim. Refresh me if I'm wrong, but he said that they do not have the funds to keep that road on the thing. Exactly what he told. Oh, that's right. Yeah, he said that because of the constraints, the money constraints, that Dow Road would be kicked to the curb. And to estimate the cost of the land at $16 million and come back a year later and it's $66 million is unacceptable to me.
I agree. I think you've got that fact very good here, the complaint about the fact what happened.
And I think
I just think it needs to be a little bit positive here in one little paragraph.
Well, if you want to suggest it, but like I said, I personally talked to every one of those representatives. And somebody has got to start holding the employees of the state account. When you make a $50 million mistake, and nobody, well, I understand it, they don't let go of anybody, it was just one of those happy-go-lucky things.
Just to add to what Chuck was saying, holding them to account, to me, is a little bit different than privatization of a government service. And I know that we...
Well, I can live with it, a review of the engineering services may lead to more accountable and better use of state funds. If you want to leave privatization out, put a review of engineering services for the area. And I can live with that. And if folks, if y'all, you want me to read this to y'all, the letter? I mean, as a Cherry Beach CMPO representative, I'm very disappointed with the system used to run gas for the importance of the DOT project. Even more alarming is that the ranking will be based on an average information from 2008. The project I'm most concerned about is Dow Road improvements, of which the engineering study has already been completed. Pertinent information which should have been included was missing. The infamous road guide implemented by the state DOT was not mentioned, or the fact that state DOT flashing signs now identify Dow Road as an alternative route. 32,000 vehicles passed over Snowscope Bridge on the 4th of July, along with 900,000 a year that passed through Carolina Cherry Beach and visited North Carolina Aquarium at Port Fisher, and the state historic site at Port Fisher. Tourism plays such a high part in driving the state's economic engine. Problems like these, in my opinion, should take precedence over the fact that DOT underestimated land acquisition for one small project by $50 million, and that the already ranked project should be dropped with little no concern as to the best interest of the tax-based citizens of these small towns. This is not the letter that I, Nancy, this is not the right letter.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. It's the revised letter that you all have.
You're
your stuff.
Revised, this is the other letter.
It says revised up here. And you should have that in your stuff.
And are you doing typos?
So, no, you're the one who gave it to Susan to change.
This is in the back.
No, it's in front of you. It was up
here. Oh, the ones was up here. No, I couldn't find it. Anyway, what this is, I think, Chuck, you'd be more satisfied with this. It's subject to dangerous traffic situation, gridlock becomes a factor, and it won't even come back. Y'all get just a second to read this and see if you approve this. Emily's making all kinds of radical changes.
One other thing, Dean.
Should be on that list.
There's been at least three rankings that I'm aware of that took place since this ranking.
Yeah. And we moved on.
This is when Nancy's having the...
Excuse me, Mr. Doolin. That was one of the questions that I could not give a straight answer. That they say they have all the averages of 2008, the truck routes that were taken, the cargo that was delivered, and I said, but we're not comparing apples to apples and oranges. It's a complete different scenario. And they said, well, that's too bad. That's what we're going to do. And I said, I don't think so. I said, as an advocate for Curie Beach, I'm not going to stand by that.
Because the area was reasonably happy that I'm aware of.
Yes, it was. The problems we have now were DOT implemented. So with your permission, if this is okay with you, I will send it to this. Madam Clerk, get this ready on town station or just send our elected officials.
Okay. Now that's a consensus?
Yes.
Okay.
Emily, you have a problem other than your typos?
Yes, typos. I see them too. I didn't type.
She didn't do that.
Did you put the semicolon?
But factor is not factor.
I'll do it.
Yes. Okay. Yes. I know. I see that.
As soon as they give it to staff, they'll just change it.
My discussion and consideration of new business. Item number one. To accept the resignation of Commissioner Barry Nelder effective August 8, 2011. Do we accept Commissioner Barry Nelder's resignation?
I make a motion to accept it.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor, any discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? Thank you. Decision regarding the filling of the vacancy. I've been asked by several of you folks what we plan to do with this, so I'd like some open discussion on this. We have one of the gentlemen tonight who's running for that office. We have a gentleman who came by town hall, Mr. Pegley, who is going to basically be running unopposed. So what's the council's wishes?
Our options are to leave it open.
Yes.
To fill it.
Appoint.
Appoint somebody off the street, one of the people running, part of the possible problems with filling it with somebody who's running is the fact that Mr. Nelder has not dropped out of the race, which means that we may have be putting somebody in who is in an active campaign. The other thing is the amount of time. We can't, if we go by what we've done before, we interviewed people who applied for it, which means that if we did that tonight, we would interview them at the next council meeting and then vote and appoint them at that meeting, so it would be September.
All I'm asking for is a decision from council that I can relay to the news media. Patty, you have a question or a comment?
Patricia Volander, 114 Settlers. Why can you not make a decision tonight? Why do you have to delay another month before making a decision of appointing someone to council?
In the past, we have interviewed people who wanted to fill the position. We could not interview the people tonight because we have no idea how many would apply.
Well,
we do have the option of one of the positions is the gentleman is running unopposed. But there again, you know, it's council's decision. I just need something I can get in the media with.
The thing I would say about that is the position that he's running for is the position that he's filled.
That's right. And that shouldn't make any difference because the one I was appointed to is not the one I'm running for.
He's running for a position.
Well, it does make a difference because he didn't register like the rest of them.
Yeah. He registered to run for a two-year position.
For a specific position.
Right. Yeah,
so that one.
But that doesn't mean he has to hold that position.
He will have to hold it for 2 years. Yes, ma'am.
No, he'll be off the...
He's not going to be elected for 4 years. He's going to be elected for
2 years.
So if we gave it to you, you'd be in that position for 2 years?
No.
You are just on an appointed open position for 3 months. Well, 4 months, counting to that. And then that goes away, and you get sworn in as however we get elected.
Legally,
we
could appoint him the 2 year
person. Assuming there's not a write-in candidate.
We could appoint Gilbert if we want.
Pat, would you like a position?
He has the experience, and to run this office for 3 months without a full staff, I think that he should be appointed tonight.
Thank you, Pat.
Good girl.
Okay, I'm sorry. I must be going to sleep here because you
did so eat late. That candy bar.
And I got to try to wake me up, but it didn't do it. I don't understand the difference between appointing David and appointing Steve. Why would one have to stay for 2 years and the other one...
Forget the years. The problem here is you've got three people running for two spots. If you appoint one of them, we're favoring that person over the other two.
Right. Oh, well, that's a totally separate issue.
That's where our problem. So we can't do David because he's running against two other people and there's only two spots. Yeah, so we can be saying, hey, we want David up here, so everybody vote for David.
Right. I tend to agree with Chuck, actually, right? So, I mean, I came to start listening to you guys because I think I'll be in December. You never know, but I think so. But I tend to agree with Chuck. Until Barry pulls out, I don't think you guys should appoint me.
Okay.
Right. You could appoint Steve because he's running unopposed if you want to have five people up there and start him getting experience. Or you could appoint anybody else you guys want in town.
Or you can leave it vacant.
Or you can leave it vacant. But I just don't think, I agree, until Barry makes a decision, you guys don't want to be involved in the election other than you because you're running too.
Right. Yeah, Barry has entered his resignation for this term.
That's right.
He has not said he's withdrawing his name for consideration for next term.
So yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we don't have anything from the board election.
I like Gilbert.
Yeah, Gilbert. No. Gilbert can get 3 months. See if he wants to run next time.
Gilbert says we stay up too late for him.
Yeah.
Actually, come on. Craig volunteered for 3 months. Another option there.
Well, what is CNC? It? I just like something
I can play. Official release for council.
What's council's wishes? So I heard election release.
Chuck made a motion to leave it vacant.
Do I have a second to that motion?
Who made it?
Chuck made a motion.
Oh, only 3 months in policy, basically.
Any discussion?
I guess you can second it.
So, all in favor of leaving the position open for 2 months? Single or say aye. Opposed? Thank you.
But that doesn't mean you can't come to the meetings and share.
I'll come to the meetings.
I think he probably knows enough. He's probably forgotten more about council than the rest of us.
I don't think so.
$500, item two, to pay for Cary Beach photo layout at the Wilmington Convention Center. Today, this afternoon, I received another email. The $500 to pay for the photo layout is exactly that. It's to pay for the photo layout, the spacing of the photos in the convention center. It does not include taking pictures or framing. So,
we could go up and take a couple of frames.
No, I don't think so. It would because they have to meet criteria, the rest of the picture, so let's not go there.
Well, I want to know why we have such a tiny little space and everybody else has great big spaces.
Who is everybody else, Emily?
Carolina Beach has the whole thing with the
I think you better look at it again.
They have an average of 9 pictures and we have 4.
Well, after this second round here, they didn't include that in $500 that they clarified with the second one. I mean, what's council's decision? Y'all, you want to have the pictures up there?
I think we should be representing
them. Yeah.
Well, then we, do you approve the $500 to pay for the layout? And this is actually attaching them to the wall, but the pictures and the frames are not included in this price.
Oh, the TDA funds?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so do I have a motion to approve the $500 for the layout? It's getting kind of pricey of the walls up there.
Is there any way around it?
Well, first of all, what is the end about?
We don't know. I mean, that's what scares me. You know, I thought this was everything all-inclusive. Then I got the email today that says, oh, by the way, that didn't include the pictures.
When did they want it to go up?
Well, they've got to do the pictures, and then they got to frame them, and then put them up. They want to try to do it as quick as they can, but that was a little, you know, off the cuff there when they said, oh, by the way, it doesn't include the rest of this.
Well, it would be nice if we knew the whole price.
Yep. Then it's council's wishes that I can email Mac and tell them we need a total price?
Yeah.
All right. Does that have a consensus on that? I don't think it needs a motion. All right. In that case, I'll take care of that. Now, at this time, I would like to make a motion to continue this meeting till tomorrow at 3:30. And at that time, we'll be opening the bids for the new garbage truck. Originally, we were going to do it at 1 o'clock, but I think most of the board members are going to be attending a memorial service tomorrow for Debbie Price's mother. So, with that said, do I have a motion to extend the meeting until Wednesday, August 17th at 3:30?
So moved. Second.
Do I have a second?
Chuck did.
Any more discussion? All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. We will be in recess until tomorrow at 3:30.
Okay.